Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When knights of the round table, our shows are more stable. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the bad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir's the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Table. that. King Shaziz the Terrible. Should be King Shaziz the Rotten or something like that. I don't know. Terrible's okay, I guess. Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Today, we're going to see if we can get a hold of the big picture, because we've got to try to put things in perspective if we're ever to try to resolve the issues of the world. Some of the things that are going on in this world go unnoticed. It's like you got to almost have a time machine to go back in time and look at things that were occurring back then in order to figure out what's happening right now. And so with that said, we're going to try to throw in a whole bunch of different links in the chat room out there. I threw some in that had to do with immigration and people being separate, children being separated from their families, and so on and so forth. But when I sit here and I contemplate on everything that I've been told via the alternative media, via the mainstream media, and I step back, I got all these pieces of the puzzle on the table, it's starting to form a picture before my eyes, at least, that I think is worthy of putting out there for everybody to take a look at themselves to see if maybe they agree or disagree on what it is I'm thinking. If you want to go over there and join for People for People Radio and Spirit Wolf Spirit Radio and all that, go over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. And if you scroll down underneath the chat, you will find a People for People banner, and you click on that and go over there and say hi to those wonderful folks. And if you're into alternative energy and stuff like that, go up above the radio player. You'll see a button that says Stephen's Resource Page, where he has compiled a long list of all kinds of alternative energy researchers and research and such. And so we got a little bit of everything on this website for you if you're out there looking for information and ideas. So what am I talking about, the big picture? Well, There's a situation going on right now where people are talking about how the immigrant children are actually being separated from their parents, and put into, well, they called them concentration camps at one point, and others called them FEMA camps, and others called them detention centers. Nonetheless, it's a holding facility for whatever purpose, whether it be imprisoned until you get deported kind of thing or whatever. But I'm wanting everybody to look at this in just a slight different perspective. Threw a link in there about a continental union. And if you check and read what this says on Wikipedia, I'm not going to read the whole entire thing, but basically, it takes all of the continent of Africa and compiles it into one union. It takes all of Europe and compiles it into one union. And it takes all of South America and North America and compiles it into one union. And all of Asia, the same thing. Well, this isn't a new concept, and it's not even a conspiratorial concept. It's actually treaties after been signed, supposedly under trade deals like NAFTA and GATT and all those kind of stuff that you might hear every once in a while, that maybe your local politician or even your president might talk about or not, whatever. But all of these deals were signed in by both Democrats and Republican presidents of the United States, senators and congressmen as well. It was signed in under different names, such as NAFTA and GATT and European Union, all those different things like that. But it was signed in by all the way back, probably even prior, but at least to Bush Senior, to Clinton, to Bush Junior, on into the Obama administration, and who knows what name it'll be under now, under the Trump administration. The thing about this whole deal is both the Democrats and Republicans are two sides of the same coin. No matter what you look at it, they're all basically globalists. That when I say globalists, I don't mean in the sense of just being able to control all the people. We're talking about financial globalism, right? And you're talking about different regulations and sovereignty. I'm going to play something real quick here that I'm just going to play it live over here. I didn't have a chance to download it, but listen to what Ron Paul says.
Good evening,
here.
Candidates. This is Seekster from Arlington, Texas, and this question is for Ron Paul. I've met a lot of your supporters online, but I've noticed that a good number of them seem to buy into this conspiracy theory regarding the Council of Foreign Relations and some plan to make a North American Union by merging the United States with Canada and Mexico. These supporters of yours seem to think that you also believe in this theory. So my question to you is, do you really believe in all this, or are people just putting words in your mouth?
Well, 90 seconds.
Well, it all depends on what you mean by all of this. The CFR exists, the Trilateral Commission exists, and it's a, quote, conspiracy of ideas. This is an ideological battle. Some people believe in globalism. Others of us believe in national sovereignty. And there is a move on toward a North American Union, just like early on there was a move on for a European Union, and it eventually ended up. So we had NAFTA and moving toward a NAFTA highway. These are real things. It's not somebody made these up. It's not a conspiracy. They don't talk about it, and they might not admit about it, but there's been money spent on it. There was legislation passed in the Texas legislature unanimously to put a halt on it. They're planning on millions of acres taken by eminent domain for an international highway from Mexico to Canada, which is going to make the immigration problem that much worse. So it's not so much a secretive conspiracy. It's a contest between ideologies, whether we believe in our institutions here, our national sovereignty, our constitution, or are we going to further move in the direction of international government, more UN. You know, this country goes to war under UN resolutions. I don't like big government in Washington, so I don't like this trend toward international government. We have a WTO that wants to control our drug industry, our nutritional products, so I'm against all that, but it's not so much as a sinister conspiracy. It's just knowledge is out there. If we look for it, you'll realize that our national sovereignty is under threat.
Congressman Paul, thank you. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Yeah. Well, I'm not good at leaving.
Oh, okay. I want you
to get mad.
Okay.
I want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know
do
is
I have a
first,
minute to go
you've
use
got to
the restroom?
Yeah, you've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it.
What? Oop.
Sorry about that.
Okay, right. Thanks for sharing.
Well, I was actually playing that live, and so everybody knows you got to utilize the facilities now. Sorry. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. I was trying to play a little piece of that deal, and plus I actually got a little too much of that information in there. Anyway, what you heard Ron Paul talk about, and there's somebody that had basically called into the show and was talking to Ron Paul. That was actually on CNN some time back, but he was kind of making a mockery because they thought this was all like, conspiracy theory, which Ron Paul just explained to him. It's not a conspiracy. It's actual fact. They really have Council on Foreign Relations and all this kind of stuff. And so, everything that we're talking about is basically out there. All you got to do is look it up. The European Union, the Asian Union, North American Union, those aren't conspiracy theories. They're actual fact. And so, with that said, you have to ask yourself a question. with all this supposed illegal immigration, had they signed all this stuff into, you know, some sort of treaty or whatever, then, doggone it. Had they signed all this into some treaty, are these people even immigrating illegally, or are they actually coming across here international law legally? That's the whole thing. And people don't seem to get it, because they do a lot of playing on your heartstrings. Like, they'll talk about how, you know, children are being separated at the border, but there's a problem here. You know, there is actually a front door where they can come up to legally immigrate, and maybe there's such a line, and maybe there's such a bunch of red tape to get through that some people don't want to try to go through all that, and they want to just go across the other direction because of whatever purpose, you know, that maybe they got some criminal history that they don't think they're going to be let in or whatever. But there's a whole lot more to this picture than meets the eye. If all these unions from all the different nations have been formed through all these different treaties that were signed via Bush 1, Clinton, you know, National Defense Authorization Act, Patriot Act, the doggone NAFTA, the GATT, and all these different things that you hear about that a lot of people complain about and other people think, is all right or whatever. These are all putting into place a big old giant economic structure in each one of these continental areas. So the continental unions of bringing all these, imagine, it sounds good in theory. You unite all of Canada, all of America, all of Mexico, all under one umbrella, and so everybody's free to come across the border, everybody's free to trade and all that kind of stuff, and it sounds good bringing the whole world under, you know, one umbrella. And if you wanted to go to the European Union, you'd probably have to get a passport and then go over there, and, you know, you'd have all those that you could travel, and all of Africa or whatever. It all sounds good under the surface, but if you look back at the big picture and you see how this is all playing out, like, the European Union so far hadn't went over so well because, you know, you got the Brexit thing where I think they was going to exit the European Union because it wasn't working out very well. And so the plan hadn't really gone smooth. But if you look at the immigration portion of it, if under this treaty they're actually coming through legally, but they can't just come out and tell all the American people, hey, we sold your sovereignty out, you're now part of this European or North American Union, so all of Canada, all of Mexico, and all of the United States are under one. They didn't tell people that they were going to do that. They just did it. They didn't ask people to vote on it. Do you want to join this big union with these two countries and, you know, make us all one big giant supercontinent or whatever, super country? They didn't ask American people that because they knew that more than likely the American people wouldn't agree with it. And, you know, like Ron Paul talk about the big government and all that. Well, when it comes down to government issues, there's another word out there called tribunal. And essentially, it's not like a regular court. It'd be like, imagine if you got all these unions, the North American Union, European Union, Asian Union, and even the African Union or whatever. I don't know how they all played out or how they're all lined out, but if you see it all divide into three, you got three countries or three nations that have a group of individuals who make all the laws and who are the ones that get together and decide who's right and who's wrong in any dispute, whether it be financial, criminal, or civil or whatever. And so basically there's your one world government that you were talking about, you know, in the conspiracy world. And it was slid right underneath your nose. It's been done incrementally under all these different plans. But in the meantime, all the people of the U.S. and other countries are basically fighting each other and fighting immigration look what happened over in Europe when they basically flooded Europe with all these different supposed refugees, and then all this crime was breaking out. It wasn't necessarily that all Muslim people were bad. It was that the people that were coming across there was absolutely no checks and balances. It wasn't just, you know, people trying to get away from war zones. It was people that were basically coming there with the message that one day the Muslim flag will fly over the White House or whatever, you know. Of course, you know, that's going to make me upset if I'm a patriot. I'm not going to want that flag flying over the White House. I kind of like the American flag flying over the White House. But nonetheless, it's the same across the border. It don't matter which country you're talking about when these people are flooding in. And they're not necessarily coming there with the best intentions. They might be coming there to basically take over. You know, imagine this. Imagine this. If you were originally from Europe and you moved to the Americas, which would have been the natives, Americans' place at the time, and you just kept sending people over and kept piling them in, and by brute force you took their land and you took everything that they had, eventually you get to the point where they become the minority in their own place. Now, I know that kind of might sound rude to some people, but history showed that's exactly what happened. History showed that when all these people came over here originally, they weren't the majority. But they kept bringing people in. They kept bringing their laws in. They kept taking lands and building laws, and incrementally, before it was all said and done, they were the majority, and the natives were the minority in their own nation. And that if that happened at that time, it could happen at any time. It could happen throughout entirety of history. So they might not be very well coming over with the best of intentions in order to, you know, just kind of blend in with your culture and your society. Well, these people up at the top, they're not stupid. They didn't get rich for not knowing what they're doing. People like George Soros that basically pay people to go in and destabilize nations. The Central Intelligence Agency that pretty much does the same thing. The spy versus spy. All the alphabet suits, FBI, CIA, DEA, the war on drugs, the war on whatever. There's wars on just you name it. And in politics, you got wars on women, you got wars on religion and the different types of beliefs. But all this stuff makes this big muddied up mess that people are finding their battle, and they get out there and they'll argue for certain rights under this, and they'll argue for certain rights under that. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash has just sold your nation, my nation, and all the other nations out to the international bankers and the global elite political and power structure. And this is what is actually happening right underneath your nose, because when I talk about the North American Union, or these continental unions, as Wikipedia says in the one link that I posted in the chat room, that was basically putting us all together. Canada, America, and Mexico becoming one. That's not a conspiracy. That is what their plan was. That is an ideology of bringing this whole deal under one umbrella and bringing all of Europe under one umbrella, all of Asia under one umbrella. And now you got a court system that is international. There aren't no borders anymore per se, with exception of Section 1, Section 2, and Section 3 of the big picture that all these nations have been divided up in. And this one particular tribunal will actually control the laws and control, trade and all that. And so your constitution that you're used to having in the United States wouldn't no longer be necessary, because it's a give and take deal. You can't necessarily have all these people having the right to keep and bear arms. There's no need for it, because you got this United Nations security force that's going to protect everybody and keep them safe. You know, Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom was eternal vigilance, and I can't remember if he was the one that said it, but somebody said it, that that if you're willing to give up freedom for security, then you deserve neither. If you think about what all's been said throughout the history of all of this, the American people are being played like a banjo. Matter of fact, the entire world is being played like a banjo by some global elitists who have this plan of a global government. You know, there's prophecy about global governments. There's all kinds of examples of what they hope to achieve by a global government. But all this stuff with the immigration down there, this whole thing been backfiring in their face the whole time, and there's been a lot of tragedies that occur because of what they wanted to try to accomplish. If these people are coming across the border, and you don't have no wall that keeps them from going through the danger zones, and it looks like a shortcut as opposed to going through all the red tape, you're opening up the border for all kinds of criminal activities. You're opening up the border for all these people to be abused by coyotes or drug dealers or, you know, even the environmental hazards of actually trying to cross the desert without the proper resources like water and transportation and all that kind of stuff. So you're opening up a nightmare. People want to get away from something in their country and try to move towards a place where they believe there's going to be more opportunity for, you know, better life and all that. And so they hear about this great place called America and they want to immigrate to America. Well, the average American doesn't mind immigration. They just don't want to get flooded like Europe got flooded. And you see what the things were occurring when you put all these cultures, different cultures, they clash with each other. They're not going to come there to assimilate to your laws. They're going to come there to try to change all your laws to suit where they came from to begin with. And if you're fleeing Mexico or all the different places down in that area because of oppression or whatever, and you're bringing that and you're going to change this nation into what your nation was prior, you know, because it's like this. If you want to go to another nation, then you have to be willing to, you know, blend in, immigrate, basically become an American, or become a Russian, or a Japanese, or a Chinese, or whatever, or Mexican, whatever. It don't matter. But you don't bring your ideology and your way of life and come over and force another country to, you know, basically change to your to suit your deal. If you understand what I'm saying. But this is what you're seeing, and this is the trick being played on the people of the world, and this is how people like George Soros and all his money and power are able to send people in to agitate and destabilize nations. You get them at war, you get them fighting amongst each other, you get them arguing over everything under the sun, religion, politics, rights, you take any of the talking points from any of the Democrats or any of the Republicans, any of those talking points, everything prior to that had been put into place to manipulate that, to get you to do exactly what you're doing right now. In the meantime, you see all this here piling up. You see all the laws like the National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act. You see all the different crimes against humanity done by different nations because these people are wanting to come over here. They can't get over here legally, so they're going to come over here illegally. And in the process, you open up a black market for everything under the sun. It's no different than what happened during Prohibition time whenever they made alcohol illegal. They basically opened up. If the people want it, they're going to get it some way or another. And if they need the money or they want the money or they want the power, that's how it works. The governments aren't no different than the drug lords. The businesses out there, the corporations, aren't no different than the drug lords. Whatever industry that you want to talk about, they want money. That's how they do it. And they're going to do whatever they can, legally or illegally, to get as much money, to get as much power as possible. And in the process, the governments don't care who gets hurt. The corporations don't care who gets hurt. And the drug lords don't care who gets hurt. The coyotes that are into sex trafficking, child trafficking, and all that, they don't care who gets hurt. They care about the money. They care about the power, and that is why we're seeing what we're seeing here today. That is why you have people saying that, well, the poor children, they're getting abused. They've been getting abused for a long time. They just hadn't been talking about it. Nobody's been saying anything. If the governments of this world really seriously cared about the children, the drone strikes wouldn't be going over there hitting collateral damage. It wouldn't be happening at all. There wouldn't be bombs dropping everywhere. There would be more debate at the table of peace saying we need to not go to war, and in order to avoid going to war, we need to resolve this issue so that we don't have to come over here and fight with you. Human rights, all the way straight across the board in all these different nations, whether they're all put under one umbrella, North American Union, European Union, or the Asian Union, or the African Union, or whichever, however you want to mix and match this. There are people being, even in Mexico itself, one of the corruptest governments out there, just as corrupt as our government, but they don't care about their people. They'll allow foreign countries to come in and pollute their land because they want the money. They want the power. And they will allow drug dealers to do whatever it is that they do. You know, Mexico, if they wanted to stop the drug dealing and the illegal immigration, they could do it. If the United States wanted to stop it, they could do it. Any one of these power structures, if necessary, if we had an overrun of the border, we could resolve. We could put all of our military right there on the southern border and say, look, there's a gap right over there. That's a line. If you want to come over here, go through that line, and then we'll do it this way. But we're not going to allow you to come across here and die in the desert because you don't have no water or medicine, or these guys want to rape you or use you to carry drugs across the border. There are people out there who will continuously, as long as they're able, use other people to get their agenda furthered. And right now, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are using you to further their agenda, which is two sides of the same coin lobbying for the same power structure. They're all in the money. When's the last time you seen a politician that wasn't filthy, stinking rich, that wasn't riding around in a corporate limousine or a privately owned jet or whatever? You haven't seen no poor guy up there. And if you did, and he started speaking out against the system, well, you know, they would find dirt on him, and if they couldn't find dirt on him, they'd plant dirt on him. That's the way it's been going on. That's why people don't trust their government. It's why people don't trust their law enforcement agencies, because they're supposedly have rights, but then what their actions speak differently when they're out there beating people up and so on and so forth. And when the immigration checkpoints are 100 miles away from the actual physical border, and you as a citizen got to go through there and say or prove that you are a citizen of the United States just to go from one state to the next, those are red flags. And if you actually look back into time and you pay attention to what was going on 15, 20 years back, they started putting signs in the stores and in the government buildings and in the schools that were multi-languages, the multiple languages, and all these FEMA camps that started popping up all over the place, and the conspiracies about Walmarts being turned into detention centers and such like that. Walmart got a whole lot of money to agree to help the government out, and so they kind of worked together to make these facilities for just case of emergency. And all these different things were going on all along because they knew that there was going to be a time when there was going to be a lot of people coming across the border this way, a lot of people going across the border in that way, and even maybe an exit of some of the Americans going to Mexico and some of the Americans going to Canada, but in the process, it might be a little chaotic for a while. So you would need a place for immigrants to actually stay so that they could finally get settled into, living in the United States or vice versa, Canada or Mexico. So all of this stuff that's going on right now, if you step back and look at the big picture, at least for me, it looks like everything was instigated and pre-planned initially before all this immigration ever even started. There were already people that had already knew that this was going to occur, and so they pre-planned by putting all these FEMA camps together and all these agreements with Walmarts and stuff like that for FEMA detention centers or whatever. So none of this is new, but we got to put it in the right perspective if we're going to get the big picture. So with that said, Barbara, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you. It's good to be here with you, Shaziz, and hi everybody out there. Wow. As you're talking, I'm going, there's that issue, there's this circumstance, that's that situation, there's this issue, there's that circumstance, there's that situation. You notice the spinning around and around.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like that's where we all are spinning, and I think that's deliberate, is to get us spinning. I think like we're getting hit with so many issues deliberately to keep us spinning so that we can't get our heads straight, We can't figure things out, or it's difficult to figure things out, and people are screaming at each other and ramping up issue. It's not just the one issue, as we know. It's like the immigration, it's the NAFTA, it's the European Union, it's the tariffs, it's like over across the board, there's all these tentacles of pretty much, things that are rising up that are very deeply concerning, the environmental issues. I'm just looking at all this stuff and I'm going, wow, it's like, then what comes to my mind is, this goes back so far. It goes back so far in our history, from the beginning, pretty much, about this control, the controllers or the elite or whatever we want to call them. It doesn't matter the name you call these people. Like you said, you'd never see a poor country boy or poor country woman. I'm saying that because we kind of like have an idea of what that means. Someone who's a worker, someone who's had a simple life, a struggling life, good people, their families are really good, good people, honest people. You never see a person like that in the political realm. They forget it. They're just not allowed because there's an elite system here that we're talking about. And every one of these people who make the rules and regulations from the beginning of our, I guess you'd say civilization or whatever you want to call it, started with a elite faction, sort of like a club.
Do you know what is really scary about that? Is that I've heard this from the average Joe. Let's say you got a millionaire, all right? This guy, they look at him like, well, he's a millionaire and he must be smart if he made all this kind of money. So, if he's that successful in his own personal life, he would probably be a good president or a senator or a congressman. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he didn't do everything dirty and illegal to get where he got in his personal life, and he would keep that same aspect, tell you what you wanted to hear, and do the deal when he gets into the office. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And so I think that there has been no transparency at all.
Nope.
from those running the world. I'm going to say the world. There has been, it's a club. You're allowed in if you agree to certain things. You're allowed in only if you agree to do certain things. So that's a club is ruling us, controlling us, everybody in the whole world. So we're all in this together. I'm going to repeat again what I have felt for a long time, that we've never been a free country. when the Europeans came here. This was once, Turtle Island, where we are living here, was, and everybody in the world, I guess I'd say, before the club was formed, that we had been free. You know, my teacher, Wallace Blackout, told me when he was a boy, there were no borders, there were no fences. You know, you went freely wherever you wanted to in this country. You went here from Manhattan Island all the way out. If you wanted to go all the way up to Canada, there was free range. There were no borders. There were no states, named states. There were no, you know, you didn't have to have a license. You didn't have, you know, he said the horses were free. They ran for miles and miles and miles, you know, and they were strong and powerful horses. He used that analogy because of what happened, what has happened to this four-legged animal, the horses. He said, when I was a boy, we used to ride for miles and miles and miles, and there were no fences. There were no restrictions. So this was a free country. We can say the whole world was free. There were no borders. There were no governments. There were no licenses. There was none of this stuff going on. You know, now the whole world is squared off, roped off, fenced off, ownership, you know, no trespassing, and this rule and that rule and this regulation, and, you know, this is what we've been under. So there's been no transparency, and we have been for centuries just herded along incrementally, herded this way, herded this way, incrementally put in the position where we find ourselves today, where it feels like we're living in a, you know, in a bad movie.
Yeah, we've been played by con artists, quite literally. That's how
we have. We all have participated. You know, our ancestors have participated. You know, I felt like there was never, the American dream was a farce. You know, this is just not real.
It was it was that carrot that was on the stick in front of that mule that was doing all the work. You know, you put that carrot out there, that the mule's going to follow it because it wants that carrot, but it can't never get close enough to that carrot to get the carrot. So that's what the American dream was like to the people of America. They were told, look, you can succeed and you can become you know, popular, famous, or rich, or, you know, you could prosper here, and this is how you do it. And then when you try, the closer you get to that carrot, it's like the, here's a prime example. When you talk about retirement, all right, when I was young, retirement age was probably 50-something, all right? And then the older I got, then it was 60-something. And I don't know what it is now, but the retirement age keeps getting higher and higher the older I get. So that carrot is farther and farther out there, if you understand what I mean.
Oh, well, now, you know, the Social Security and all that, they're like, they're going to be, you know, eliminating the Social Security, you know, where everybody felt like, well, at least I can breathe a sigh of relief when I get to be my retirement age. I can collect my Social Security.
Yeah.
And now people are freaking out because guess what? The government is taking the Social Security incrementally. This is and the Dems actually want to do away with Social Security.
Well, and that's the funny thing is because the Democrats are always saying, they're always telling people during election time, oh, the Republicans are going to steal your Social Security.
Like, well, here's the thing. Okay, yes. let's get real. Again, we have to really come to, we all of us have to stop this. We have to stop the madness. If we continue to believe in these people who are on the top echelon of you know, the money, the high money level, the high control system, if we continue to believe these people, it's our fault.
Yeah.
You know, some politician will stand up there, whether he's a Republican or a Democrat, and he'll say this, and everybody sways toward what he says. And then another person will stand up, Democrat or Republican, he says this, and everybody sways that way. We're so being manipulated, and we need to really stop the madness right now. And I think this is coming to a head of a huge peak, point in time where we have all these factions that we're dealing with. We have, yeah, the immigration system, as I said before, we have the taxes, we have the you know, the welfare circumstance, we have a ton of stuff, and we have continual war. You know, the elite need bodies. They need the blood sacrifice. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to go to the point of the who's behind the system that we are under, and it is very dark and very evil. And because it's not for the people, as you said earlier, they don't care about the people. They only care about themselves and their people. You know, we are just the serfs. You remember in the old days, the kings and queens and the serfs, you know?
Yep.
We're still the serfs. We're still doing their dirty work. We're still going to war for them. We're still following their rule, their regulations, and their system that tells us what to do, what to wear, what to buy, how to be, what to think, you know, and so on. We're under that system. We are not free thinkers, you know. We kind of like that's been taken out, the ability to think freely. Then you have all the influx of technology that's really affecting our ability to think clearly. And we're in an emotional, high emotional frenzy right now. The whole world is in a high emotional frenzy, and that's being stirred. The pot is being stirred by those elite that are watching us all in this frenzy, and that's where they want us.
Yeah.
And this is how I look at it. The media is, we know who owns the media. We know that journalism is dead. It's pretty wild
to
say that.
They pretty much admit a long time ago that groups like the FBI and the CIA and even the government, I can't remember, I think it was Bush was the one, Bush Jr. actually said on there about how, you know, people allow it's legal to propagandize your people.
Yeah.
They basically said it. I can't remember the actual.
I don't know. Just think about the past years here when those people stood up in front of us and promised us all this and promised us everything we wanted to hear, and everybody bowed down to them. And then what happened? Where are we today?
Yep.
Where has all these political people who stood up and said, America, this, and we want to do that, and we want to help you, and this will be better. We are not better. It is not better. Nowhere is it better. It's only better for the elite. There's the divide is dividing deeper and deeper and further apart. The division is extraordinary. And so I'm just looking, am I going to be politically incorrect if I talk about the Islamization of America? I will be.
Yep.
Yes. I'm just going to say that. But so we have the border situation. We have what's going on in Europe that is pretty stunning with what's going on there. There is a concern about the Islamization of America because we know there is a prophecy about one world religion and one world order. We do know that, and we can see various factions lining up to fulfill this circumstance. Now, if you want a border, you are prejudiced. If you feel that people shouldn't come into any place that illegally and not abide by the rule and law, you are, you know, somebody who hates those people, or you are prejudiced, or you're whatever it is. Okay.
Let me ask you a question. How would you take Islam out and put Europe into, how would you say that word, instead of Islamize or whatever?
Islamization.
Yeah, now how would you put Europe in there?
Well, because what's happening...
I'm saying into that actual word, because Europe already did what they're worried that Islam is getting ready to do.
Well, we could talk about Sharia law. Sharia law takes the word Islamization away.
Yeah.
Okay? So what this is about Sharia law. So what is Sharia law? Okay, basically, I just have this article here that says the Islamization of America is accelerating in tandem with the spread of Sharia law in America's courts. And this is quite concerning, and we don't know about this. So the this is about American media, political education, and prison systems are particularly gaining with this Sharia law. So let's just look at this. There are estimated to be 5 million, the Muslim population in USA today is about the size of the Hispanic population 27 years ago, but is growing 6 times faster than the national rate. The Islam's growth in America prisons, for instance, is particularly troubling. About 80% of Americans who convert to a religion while in prison become Muslim, who now comprises about 20% of the prison population. This is a conversion rate. It's especially high among African American inmates. And during the presidency of Barack Obama, whose father and stepfather were Muslims, Islamic groups, including the Muslim Brotherhood's Council on American-Islamic Relations, penetrated the highest levels of the U.S. government. The White House has had a White House Muslim advisor who had counterpart Muslim advisors in the U.S. Department of Justice, the FBI, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, whose senior fellow, Mohammed El-Biari, declared that the U.S. is an Islamic country.
Yeah. That's one of the, I think Obama actually came out and said America's no longer a Christian nation.
So, he did.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, so you have to look at, so, okay, so when you say Muslims, you get in trouble. But this is about Sharia law.
Yeah, but the point I was trying to get by replacing Europe with Islam is that it, for the people out there that don't believe that this is possible, it has been done. It was done to the Native Americans, the people that the indigenous people that who were here first. Europe came over and changed the whole entire thing to be like Europe. Well, even Islam could do the same thing throughout the entire world. These people have been not just Islam, but Europe and all the other nations. They have been doing this throughout the entirety of history. And the people who want to be in charge, the tribunal that they would put in place where North American Union, the European Union, the Asian Union, and the African Union, or all these, however they do it, the power structure that is put into place would use Islam to do the deal that's going to get everyone riled up and fighting. You see what I mean? Nobody's going to, here in the United States at least, allow anybody to be stoned in the street because they did something. And so you know that the moment that actually comes down to you say, well, you're now under Sharia law, there's going to be a revolt of biblical proportions here in the United States, which is the chaos that they have wanted all along. The more that they can keep us fighting amongst each other as the people.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. But listen, Islam and Christianity both claim to be religions of peace, right?
Yep.
So now we know that people who claim to be followers of Jesus or Muhammad, which basically Muhammad set up the Muslim Islam or the Sharia law, while killing and plundering to factually determine which of the two, Christianity or Islam, is the true religion of peace, bypass the people who claim to be adherents of the two religions, since their claims could and have often proven to be false. Instead, let's start with the words and the lives of the founders of these two religions. So, Jesus preached peace and love for one's enemies. And this is a Matthew 5:43-44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, did Jesus walk his talk? You know, that was a good question. Okay, so we have, I'm trying to find here. Okay, Jesus never hurt, maimed, or killed anyone, and he certainly did not engage in war. When a mob of Jews tried to crown him king after witnessing him performing a miracle and pressure him to lead an armed rebellion against the Romans, Jesus walked away from them. So I'm looking at this, I'm looking for, what about Muhammad? While Jesus neither used nor owned a sword and warned those who did to put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword, Muhammad gave names to his swords. For example, after expelling the Jewish tribe of Quainuga and Medina in 624 AD, he gave the names Very Sharp, Pluck Out, and Death to the three fine swords that he took. So, did he use the swords? He was born and raised in Mecca, and let me see, he didn't know, okay, Muhammad took to plundering passing caravans and proved quite adept at it. He was, I just want to get to the part where actually Muhammad, this man who started this religion, said that at one point in, when he was speaking to someone, he said that he believed that he was being controlled by something evil. So I'm just looking at this so-called Islamophobia or Islamophobia and Sharia law and Jesus versus Muhammad. So they are both claiming to be religions of peace, and we know the history. Now, there's a sign here, someone holding up this sign says, "Behead those who say Islam is violent." Really? Well,
that's there's like right there in the statement.
I'm just saying. So why should we be concerned today about the borders? Because this is really... Because Europe is struggling with this, you know, this influx of this radical Sharia law, and it is in entering into our courts today, and on a, in a system, okay, that is really disruptive and corruptive and going to cause a lot of problems about this, because it's under the guise of Islamophobia, that you are hate monger and so on. We have the same thing with people of color. You know, if you say something that, well, those people, you know, are coming across our borders, and many of them, we don't even know who they are. They're coming across illegally. If you want to go to any country, you have to go through the proper legal process. And get to the children here. Okay, so we know that the children have been separated from parents from the beginning of this country, with the government taking Indian children and throwing them into government schools. This happened in the United States as well as Canada. Starting at the early age of 3 years old, you had government agencies coming in onto the reservation and taking, literally, sometimes forcibly removing the children from the people, throwing them in government schools where they were immediately, heads were shaven, they were de-liced with chemical, they were beaten if they spoke their own language. Many of these children were violated through rape, and some of these children, and I don't have the percentage, were murdered. A lot of these children never went back home. The idea was to kill the Indian, okay, and they did a somewhat good job at that. But these children, the relatives, the generations from then, from the 1800s, the people who survived this, the Indian people, are still suffering through generations, because you have people coming back. It's like a prison camp, of course. It's a violation of your rights, of your spirit, the generations of the knowledge and wisdom, the ceremonies, the ways of a people were basically, you know, beaten out of them, and then they return, some of them that return home, how do they continue to live in a healthy manner? Then you have the rise of alcoholism and drugs and violence on their own people, because these people are damaged, has passed through generations. So today we have still remaining the suffering. But today, Indian children and women are still being kidnapped. We have this happening all over the world. We have now before us the realization and uncovering of sex child trafficking coming across the border of the United States. This is real. You have these gangs coming through, drug trafficking, the MS-13 gangs, and then you have people, families, who are running, escaping from the horrors that their own government is committing upon their own people. You know, how do you deal with this, where everyone, you know, can be safe? I mean, we don't know who's coming across the border. And then there's the catch and release that Obama put up, that if you are an illegal alien and you have a record, and the court finds out that you have a record in your country and you come through this border illegally, it says, supposedly, that the court's trials and so on and holding pens or jails are so filled that they release these criminals who came to this country illegally until further notice of their trial. These people don't return. This is a huge mess, and we can't just keep screaming that President Trump is the one who started all this, because that's a joke, and you don't know your history.
That's right. It's been going on for a long time under every Democrat, Republican president, or whatever. You don't see no third-party presidents getting elected. You know, Ron Paul, I think, would probably have been a good president, but they demonized him so bad from both sides of the fence, both the Democrat and Republican, and the mainstream media, made Ron Paul out to look like, some sort of stupid individual. Ron Paul ain't even remotely stupid. He just wants to have smaller government, and he wants to be more of like... We don't go to war unless it's a constitutional war. He actually even mentioned in that bill that I played that we're going to war under UN resolutions. That's not constitutional.
Well, when was the last time this country was attacked?
Well, I can't even remember, except for in history that I've been taught would be during when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. But... that supposedly started World War II or
two.
Whatever.
The Great War.
Yeah.
That was the Great War.
But the thing about it was, in the conspiracy world, they said they knew ahead of time that this was even going to happen, so they deliberately maneuvered us into war. And whether it's a conspiracy or not, it's...
Well, you can research that, and you can determine it yourself. We should research these things, even though it's the screamers saying it's conspiracy and these people are nutcases. Don't close that door. If you want to know the truth, you see, this is the problem. I sent somebody a YouTube of a person who I kind of like their perspective and I think is really working to be to cover all sides, and has this perception that we need to know all sides. And I like his, I like how he addresses things. And I sent this person a YouTube of him speaking about something that I felt was really important. But he happened to be a guest on InfoWars. Now, Alex Jones was not interviewing some other person who I really also feel has a little bit of a head on his shoulders and the way he, presents things. So he was interviewed on the InfoWars link, not by Alex Jones, who to me is, I don't know what, I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, but the person responded. They didn't even look at the video. They didn't even listen to the video or what these two men were saying. Basically, their response was, InfoWars, are you not, those people are nuts. I completely disagree with everything thing they say on InfoWars. And I was like, well, there you go. You would not find the gems that are in this conversation between these two men, then you just close the door that might actually have opened something for you.
Yeah.
So we can't do this, because this is what we've done all along, and they know we will do this. When you have a politician or somebody on the top league of things, an elite, standing up there telling you stuff, and another one standing next to them and telling you stuff, and you say, well, I'm going to go for this one because I like what he's saying, and I'm going to just ignore the other person because I don't like the way they look, or I don't like the whatever.
You need to listen to both sides so that you can get the whole picture. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what communication is about now, isn't it? That's
yep.
What's sitting down. And that's the way of the Indian people had the way to sit down and resolve circumstances and situations of disagreement or disharmony or different perspectives. You see, here's the thing. In the early times, the people needed each other, really needed each other. You could not just walk away from your tribe and expect to survive out there in the wilderness by yourself. was one of the worst circumstances if you did wrong in your community and you were banned from your people to be let out there all by yourself. You cannot survive by yourself. The people needed each other, and they knew that, but they were really concerned about the coming generations. I mean, this was the main focus of their life, okay?
Yep.
As stewards of not only the earth and the resources that everyone needed, but of the children and the coming generations. So if there was, you know, any discrepancy or issue amongst a people or a persons, they would sit down, and you know what? They would talk. They could talk for weeks. And the Kogi today in the South America, that's still what they do. They sit down and they have talks and they come back and they keep coming back until everyone feels heard, until everyone gets a chance to speak their perspective, until everyone is respected and heard, and they can come to a resolve where everyone feels good, and that it is for the good of the whole, and it is for the coming generations, the determination that they will come to. You know, this doesn't happen today. It's like people are divided, deliberately divided.
Yeah, amongst everything, all the different labels. You know, when you said earlier about Islamophobia, they got like homophobia and all the different types of phobias that have to do with labels. Oh, you're just a racist, you know, or whatever. It's not that people in America don't want the Mexican people to be able to immigrate. It's that they don't want the people to come over here and change the place into Mexico, if you understand what I'm saying. And I know that kind of might sound racist by saying that, but do you think that in the reverse, that Mexico wants people to come over and turn Mexico into the United States, or in Canada, or in Russia, or China, or any of the other nations of the world? You know, This entire thing, it could quite literally give you an aneurysm.
This thought just came to my mind. Do you think that if there didn't exist an elite system club, a controllers club, top high level hidden club, manipulators? Let's think about that. If that didn't exist, do you think that we would have borders? Do you think that we would have fences? Do you think that we would not cross places, lands, and come together like we did in ancient times and trade and marry up with somebody else, or, you know, participate in being humans?
We wouldn't need borders. There was a time, like you mentioned, where we didn't have borders. If you wanted to go up to Canada, you know, you could go to Canada. They wouldn't, you know, stop
you
from coming in.
Yeah, if you had something to trade, which they did, if you had people were trading all the time together, they didn't say, well, I'm not trading with you because your color is wrong. You know, or you dress weird, or, you know, you believe something different than I do. No, people traded, they intermarried, they connected with each other, there were no borders. So, but somebody got the bright idea that, wait, we could make a lot of money if we control these people. We can get them, well, we'll push them over here where we want them, or we can get them on our side to fight against those people to go to war. You know, there's a lot of money to be made with war. Let's do this.
Yep.
But I'm just thinking, so how many wars have we been in since World War II? So let's say that World War II was legitimately an attack on this country. Let's say that for the sake of just conversation. But I've looked at the conspiracy about the fact that this was a setup too. But let's look at this. Okay, so we had the Vietnamese didn't attack this country. The Afghan people, the Iran people, the Iraq people, blah, blah, blah. Even the Twin Towers was not an attack on this country, as we're beginning to find out, and I frankly did know in the beginning that there was no weapons of mass destruction over there, but let's put the focus on that country, and they lied to us about who really did the crash into the towers, if they did actually crash into the towers. I mean, everything is up for question, frankly, in my world right now. I'm questioning everything. I don't trust anyone. I'm questioning everything. I want to find the truth. The only way to find the truth is to look and research and listen to both sides and use your truth meter.
Yep.
That's what I say.
An adult passport, a new adult passport, cost, standard fee is For 4 to 6 weeks, you can get a passport for $110. For an acceptance agent fee, you get $35 added to that. So total passport fee for an adult for 4 to 6 weeks of travel is $145. A passport renewal costs you $110. A replacement passport, $110 with a $35 acceptance agent's fee, $115. Passport card for a child is $15 with a $35 fee, a total of $50. Passport card for an adult is $30 with a $35 acceptance fee for a total of $65. And a super secret second duplicate passport, in case you lose yours, is $110. So even to get a, you got to have a license to travel. All right, you never had to have a license to travel.
I was just going to say, yeah, you never had to have a permit. You never had a license. You never had, you know, this again is about the money, about those in control, about everything. You didn't need a license to get married.
Yeah.
Whose bright idea was that?
Yeah, why you got to get the government's permission to do something that was supposedly be ordained by your creator, you know? Whatever.
Well, why did you need a license to have a baby? Why did you need a birth certificate, you know, for your baby? Well, we all know all that. Again, it's about the controllers own us through that document. Now it's like wherever you go, you are tracked, and now the chip is coming. It's here, and to own you, to track you, and the idiots, I'm sorry to use that term, I shouldn't be calling people names, so forgive me for that, because that's a negative frequency I don't want to put out, but I'm concerned for those people who line up willingly without thinking and say, yeah, put this chip in me. Wow, now I can just get into this building. I just have to wave my hand over there. Or I can I can use the copy machine, or I can get into this elite club. I got a chip in me now. Woohoo! I'm concerned because these people don't realize what this really truly means in the big picture.
Yeah.
They just do not. You know, we're looking at, and they're talking about the economy. They're talking about jobs lost. You know, the jobs are being lost really mostly now by technology. So this is where we're heading. So you can't blame Mexicans for the people in this country losing jobs, because the Mexican people who come here were pretty much as slaves, the slave labor. You know, that's what they do. I've seen these people, and they are in those fields in the South and California and all that stuff. When they come here, we even have people here, we have black people here in our area that come, because there's a lot of farms here, and they come up probably from the New York, New Jersey, I don't know where, but they come here, they spend weeks here working in the gardens. It's hot sometimes, and they're out there in the fields. I don't know what they get paid, but you have these people coming across the border to work, and they bring their families, and they have these setups, little camps here for them, and I have to say, they're not really nice places. They're minimal amenities for the people, but they are literally slave laboring in the fields, and then the big planes come along. This is a true fact. The big planes, the pesticide sprayers, come along right over those people that are working in those fields and spray the pesticides on those fields and those people.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, okay, everybody's screaming about the immigrants that are taking the jobs from the people and from legal people in this country, from citizens in this country. Well, but nobody's screaming about the technology that's taking the jobs. You know, I mean, people are losing jobs left and right. Now, you go to the grocery store, you know what? They have now, how long has it been put in where you can go to your own little out register, you can go there and you can check yourself out all by yourself.
Yep, scan it all in, pay your money and walk out. Don't have to have no cashier, there's a job gone.
You don't have to have a cashier. I don't go to those machines because I don't really get along well with machines. I always go to the cashier, but I'm thinking about this, wow, what's going to happen when there are no people, when there are no humans, you know, That's where we're headed, folks. And so you can't scream anymore about so-and-so, this person of color taking your job, because we're all going to be in that position. So I'm just saying, we got to get our act together here. We have to realize what this big plan is. You're talking 2030, you're talking, you know, globalization, one world order. Now, okay, so let's just look at what Trump is doing. Supposedly, according to Q, Trump is taking down the deep state, the dirty deep state, cleaning the swamp out of all the evil, and we are seeing product according to what this really is. And it is, right now, it's in Congress and Senate are interviewing others, and the FBI, CIA, and so on and so on, involved in this cover-up and involved in various deep, dark stuff. Treason, to the degree of treason, and so we are seeing this happening. We are seeing the deep state. Supposedly, we all knew there was a hidden government. I never used the word deep state, but pretty much that's what it is. It's a controlling factor that is hidden that controls our governments, and it's all worldwide. It's not just here. And some people say, well, it's the Bilderbergs, it's the Rothschilds, it's Soros, blah blah blah. Well, they're all part of it. But so now Trump is removing this faction, and we see it happening across the board. But now my concern is, and Patty, I know because we've talked about this before with you and the people, is but what's going to be put in its place? And I don't trust Trump either, because Trump is not an environmentalist. Trump does not care about the environment. Trump is a gold miner.
Yeah.
And he is.
Yeah,
he's
There's something to be pointed out here, because all of this, even Trump plays into this deal right here. When everybody talks about, if you want to find the guilty party, follow the money. Trump has a lot of money, and he has a lot of interest that necessary for him to stay wealthy like he is. But here's the thing. All of this craziness, everything can be tracked down to one thing, and that is that... if there's a war, a lot of people make money. If there is a riot, a lot of people make money.
We don't make the money.
No, we don't. But
yeah, say it like it is.
Yeah.
Who really makes the money?
The governments make the money. The corporations make the money. The international bankers make the money. And the civilians get the crumbs of whatever they labor that they can get in on this this game of war. Like, when you go to the military, you'll get some money per month, but it's not as much as you think for risking your life. You know, and if you actually go into a war zone, you might get hazardous duty pay. And even in certain law enforcement agencies, if you're under certain circumstances, you might get overtime or even hazardous duty pay. But it is not even a fraction of what the governments are making, via taxes, via all the different ways that they make money. It's nothing compared to the military-industrial complex that sells guns, ammunition, tanks, airplanes, and the technologies that are available out there. The tech companies are making money. All the major corporations for the Food Administration, the Drug Administration, you name it. Anything that you can possibly think about that you as a consumer can purchase, wartime is a profitable time for those individuals. It's a terrible time for you, because your children are going off to war to fight with other people's children in other nations. And whenever you get your arms blown off, or your legs, or your mind damage, or your body, permanent death, or permanent illness, or permanent disabilities, you get a little bitty fraction of what this whole deal was, just to keep you satisfied, so that everybody else who decides to go into a war after you, hey, wait, I ain't going into war, you let that man get shot, now he's out there starving and homeless, and getting thrown in jail on a regular basis because he can't take care of himself. Why would I want to go over there and fight for you when this is how you treated that person? So they got to give the veterans something. They got to give them a little bit of something to keep them appeased, so that they can keep the people wanting to go to war. That's the way it works. It's all the money game. You get to trickle down crumbs, while those people in the banking industry, the governments, and the corporations of the world are making money hand over fist by having you out in the streets rioting because, you know, you want to fight for rights or whatever. They don't care. Once you go to jail, you make the whole privatized prison industry a lot of money. It's just like a motel. They get paid for every person that's in that jailhouse. And the guards get paid. So they go in there and they'll do a job. I'm only doing my job. They say I gotta search these people. They say I gotta pepper spray them or whatever. That's a part of my job. I gotta keep them in line. I gotta keep order. The same doggone thing in the police department. They're just doing their job. And it's average Joes who are police officers. It's average Joes who are prison guards. It's average Joes who are in the lower echelons of the government agencies, when in reality, all you're doing is supporting the same beast system that you propose to hate. And in the meantime, all this stuff, whether it be for immigration, child sex trafficking, or, you know, modern-day slavery, which still to this day actually occurs. And even if you don't think you're a slave, when Mexicans are being coming across the border, they're not getting paid as much as Americans, and they don't care because the money that's here in the United States is more valuable when they take it and send it back to their family. The peso as opposed to the dollar, the yen as opposed to the dollar. If you watch all the different monetary values, there's actually a black market out there where people will go buy Japanese money when it's high, and they'll trade it in for American money when it goes higher, and they'll flip-flop that back and forth, and they'll make money just off of trading currency. That's it. And if you buy something here in America and it costs you $10, you can go to Mexico and you can buy it for a fraction of the price. And these people know this. These people that are into the stock market and into all the banking tricks of how to make money, how to invest, they know about the prices of money. They know about all the different differences in you can buy in Mexico cheap and then you can sell in America high. You can buy in China cheap and you can sell in America high. They know all these tricks throughout the entire economical system of the world. And the best way that they can keep you in line is to keep you arguing and fighting amongst each other, because when you get mad, they make money. It's plain and simple. And that's what the people have got to realize if they're ever going to get out from underneath this system that they so-called despise. They have people out there protesting against what do they call that, doggone it, when it's talking about money, the system that we've got, financial system. I can't remember the word. But either way, it has to do with money. And they protest.
Everything has to do
capitalism,
with money.
Capitalism. That's the word looking for.
Everything has to do with money. You know, I just popped this link in about the United Nations corruption. Okay? Because, you know, there is no system that has been, you know, put up, created, or whatever. No system that is honest. No system that is good for all people, that has the people in mind. You have the United Nations, what that was originally for, whatever, coming together to make a better world. There is such corruption in the United Nations, and abuses. It's diplomatically immune and it's largely unaccountable. It has come, basically, so this is why I feel Trump got out of the United Nations, and I actually felt that was important, because the United Nations really is the one that is pushing and fueling the one world order. You know, but that's just a part of this.
You said something key real quick. Putin over there in Russia.
Yeah.
He's not into all the United Nations. He's not into the one world government. And if you notice, because he's not in with the guys, that's why Putin is always demonized.
Bad guy.
And that's why Trump is being demonized as well.
Yes, well, because we know what happened with the G7 summit there. They were all on Trump because he's backed out of basically the Iran the Iran nuclear blah 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 nightmare that Obama set up, and now we know the true story. And if you don't know the true story behind the scenes of what was unfolding in regards to the Uranium One sale to Russia, and then went on, some of it went on to Iran and the nuclear proliferation there, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you have to do your research, because this is a big eye-opener about what really happened during Obama-Clinton administration there, and what they really did and their plan to basically have a nuclear third world war and blame Russia. What other countries isn't abiding by this system that wants to control everybody? So you have Russia. Who else?
Well, here's the thing. The United Nations is a joke to begin with, because this whole idea of being able to have all these countries united to help each other out and to do things, these guys have done worse things to people around the world under the so-called war on terror than they would have done otherwise by themselves. You see what I mean?
Right.
We wouldn't have never went into Iraq if it wasn't for, a UN resolution. Or we wouldn't have never went into Afghanistan. We're all over the Middle East. We're like, here in the United States, we're kind of like the world's enforcers. We got all this technology and weapons, and so does Britain, and so does Israel and all that. And so we're like out there dominating, getting in the middle of everybody else's conflicts, when if you was to actually follow the Constitution, we're not supposed to go to war with anybody unless a declaration of war is approved by the Congress and we were under physical attack or something like that. But we're not doing that anymore. There's no constitutional wars occurring. There's just all this different UN resolutions things. Well, certain of the members of the United Nations, which is a misnomer because it's not all the nations united, and some of the people who are actually members of the UN don't even get a vote. So it's just the most powerful nations that are making all the decisions, and who's behind the scenes telling them this is the decision we want you to go for. You see what I mean? It's a joke. It ain't like what.
Well, we're talking about a lot of issues that involve every one of us in the whole world, and the main thing I think we need to really get clear is that there is an elite system, a controlling factor, a club basically that is ruling every one of us in every country, and they do not really care about the common people.
Yeah.
We're
collateral damage. That's what we are. We're collateral damage.
We're collateral damage, and that's a terrible word, but that's what they use now.
Now look here. Like, some people think they want to go total all-out genocide. They want to kill off the population of America and replace it with subservient slaves or whatever. But listen to this. Let's say I got a business.
Is that from the Georgia Guidestone thing?
Yeah, I want to bring it down to, what, $500 million or something like that or whatever. But nonetheless, here's the thing, folks. I own a business, right? I sell cold medicine. I don't want everybody to be cured of the common cold because I go out of business. And I don't want everybody to die from the common cold, so I'm going to put enough in there just to keep them alive and healthy and the symptoms deal. And I got customers for life, all right, because the cold is spread so easy. You know, somebody hot chews on a bus, and then the next thing you know, everybody's hot chewing on the bus. And so they're going to buy my medicine. So why would I want to kill off the people who are going to pay me for all this, these products? There ain't nobody to buy products. If you only got 500 million people, that's going to decrease your profit. You want as many sick people as you can. You want as many wars as you can get, because you can sell more Band-Aids and more everything. You see what I mean?
Well, we're told that there isn't enough resources. We're told that people are starving. We're told that there's not enough water. We're told all the scary, terrifying stuff.
Yep.
You know, and that's deliberate, too, because that is not true.
No, I know. It's a bold-faced lie. I mean, look at the water filtration systems that you can buy nowadays. There's a lot of money invested in building those. And now, you think if if there was no need for fresh water, if people didn't know about bacterias or germs or little microbes that could be potentially in your water and scare you into believing that if you didn't buy these filters that you wouldn't be able to have fresh water and you could get sick and die?
Well, right off the bat, why should we have water filters to begin with?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, really. That's another big business.
That's a big business. Everything is big business.
Yeah, if you can't sleep at night, take a pill.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't whatever fulfill your whatever, take a pill.
And if your kid gets rowdy, give him drugs.
If you're unhappy, you know, take a pill. If your child is unruly, give him a pill. You know, I mean, I'm just saying. And everybody just follows suit. Okay, they tell me I can take a pill and I can be better. I can have a happy life if I just take this pill. Everybody just follows suit. Okay, because that's what we're told.
That's right.
They fix it. They create a problem and then they give us a solution.
And
everybody just falls right in line.
And if you break down the family structure, you open the gates for alcoholism, drug addiction, depression and everything else that you can, even sickness, because you know when you're depressed you get sick, and so it's a money making deal.
Well, I want to tell you something. If you get angry, you get sick.
Yep.
If you get depressed, you're going to get sick. But I mean, there's a rise in depression, and there's a rise in suicide. There's a rise in again. I got to keep pointing, we have to keep pointing to the issue, the problem, the circumstance that has been presented to us, given to us, put upon us, that is causing this stuff, and we're falling for the solution. So we keep that going. We keep the madness going. Okay, so when you take a pill to whatever, you're going to have side effects. So that's where you're going to need another pill. You know, and you've wind up, well, I took a happy pill, but guess what? I'm not happy, so I better get another pill.
Yeah, and how many elderly people do you know that have 10 or more medications that they take on a daily basis?
Well, elderly, forget that. Children.
Yeah.
There are children today. I mean, children who ADD, ADHD, which is a contrived whatever illness, contrived, created, manipulated. And these children are on numerous drugs. It is heartbreaking. And it's interesting, the greater percentage of boys are the ones who are being, issued these drugs. I wonder why.
Well, every time there is any kind of incident out there, attorneys make money, judges make money, jurisdictions make money, city, local, state, and all the governments make money. All the businesses that are supplying resources for these organizations, like prisons, you got to get food to prisons, you got to get clothes to prisons, you got to have electricity to prisons, you got to have water and all the essentials to prisons. You have to take care of the prisoners, and you have to do it in the most humane way so that you keep the people calm.
You really think it's humane? I don't know. I think prisons.
I don't. But as opposed to like some third world country where you're laying quite literally in a dirty floor with diseased people and murderers all in the same pile, they do it, you know, as much as they have to do it. They don't go any further. They don't make.
Well, it's a business. You see, prisons are a business. We know that they are working for the government. They get a lot of money. And, you know, I'm just saying, the whole system, again, what is the system? Who are these people that are running these systems? Well, you know, people work for them, and they're basically fueling the darkness and the issues that people are suffering from because they need a job.
Yep, they need a job. Because in this system, it is not free to live in America. As much as everybody likes to think that Americans are free, you're not free. You're in servitude. You have to pay or you get your lights shut off. You have to pay or you get your water shut off. You have to pay or you don't get to eat. And everything that you have to pay for, the government gets taxes on.
Even if you're growing your own garden, you get fined or your garden gets ripped up.
Yep, that's it.
What's that about, you know? I mean, I'm just saying, so thinking about the streets paved with gold, do you remember in our history it says the Spanish came because they were told that there's a golden city or whatever, gold is everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know what they did to the Indian people if they didn't get them enough gold? I mean, there was gold, but I mean, these people used the gold because they revered this, and even the Kogi say that it is a life force of the mother, the gold, and they used gold for their effigies and for ceremonies. They didn't kill people for the gold. You know, they didn't look at gold like the way gold is looked at. You know, you murder people for gold, you steal gold, you know, gold is the highest of whatever thing value in the world. But they were told the streets are paved with gold here in the United States. And also when the Spanish came and they were told there's a city of gold, and when they got the Indians down there in South America to go get them gold, if they didn't bring enough gold, they cut their hands off.
Yep. And don't overlook diamonds, blood diamonds, and actually go out. If you really want to see something scary, go out and look, just do some research on diamonds, the diamond industry, the black
market.
And then go also look into the gold industry. Imagine this. You got like a 40-foot deep hole, just big enough for a smaller child to get in.
Yeah.
They actually have a way where they can put like a hose so that the kid can breathe and dive down in there and mine for gold. And then when they finally get it up to the top, they have a process where they use like mercury to extract the gold from these rocks or whatever. In the process of that, you're basically destroying your brain from that mercury poisoning. So for people to get gold, for people to get things like even chocolate, you would be surprised at what you would find behind chocolate, the industry of that. And diamonds and all
sugar.
Yeah.
The clothes you wear, the furs you wear. I mean, look, we're talking about our participation. What are we, the people who are not happy, who are suffering, who are, you know, whatever, sick and ill and blah, blah, blah. What are we participating in? I'm just saying, shame on us is right. Annie says, shame on us. It's true. Oh, there's our sister Patty Walking Turtle.
Yeah. So basically, what I'm trying to get to with today's show, the big picture. You know, we got to learn how to listen to both sides of the story. We got to learn how to step back, look at all the pieces of the puzzle and all the information presented. I don't care whether it came from, you know, the biggest conspiracy theories or any of the alternative medias or any of the mainstream medias. You listen to what they're saying, you observe what's going on, you watch and with a discerning mind, put this information together in your mind and heart, and you'll figure out something. Every single thing that is wrong with this world always comes back to the same doggone subject, and that's money and power.
I think it's important that we all need to step back and take responsibility for our participation in what we are not happy about.
Yep.
What we are displeased about, what we are upset and screaming about at each other. We have to step back and we all have to take responsibility and stop that madness, because guess what? That is what the elite cabal, controller factors, big club up there on the whatever's pyramid, top of the pyramid, want
That's
us
right.
to do.
We're the base of that pyramid.
Yeah,
we are.
And it's
the
getting heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, we are the structure that holds up the elite. We are with all the people of the world, all the working class citizens of the world, the good people. You know, not the politicians, not the wealthy elitists of the world, or the bankers, or the military industrial deal. We are the base of that foundation. We're the soldiers. We're the workers. We're the ones to get the job done. But we are under the regulations and the thumb of whoever sets the top of that pyramid. And in some cultures or some belief systems, it's quite literally the devil who's God of this world. So, you know.
I agree on that.
However you look at it, there it is.
Yeah. And we are the ones that are being, controlled by the media, by the politicians, by all the elite that are telling us, you know, what's wrong and that they can fix it and what to do, what to buy, who to care for, who to like, who to hate, who to, you know, disembowel who to pray to.
And anyone who steps out and speaks out against the system, they have a label prepared for you for just such an emergency that you want to say your government's corrupt. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. And then when the average Joe, like a mockingbird, turns around and repeats that talking point, oh, well, you're just one of them tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists that I heard about. Really?
Well, I'm getting tired of the pushing of the hate. Yeah. I'm getting tired of the people making statements or pushing this bit of information on you or us without even doing any research. They're just spewing out this stuff like vomit, frankly. And I'm really tired of it. And I realize that these people are so stuck in this swirling mass of insanity that they're never going to get out. So I think expending a lot of energy of trying to red pill these people is not happening for me. I'm stepping back. I really am, because I realize, okay, well, you know, I'm going to continue talking here. I you know, we're here. We're doing our part. I realize I came here, I agreed to come here at this time because of the crucial circumstances that we were going to be meeting. I agreed to participate in this, and I feel my personal, job, I guess, is the best I can do is to speak, hopefully, the truth of things or do research and give both sides and give solutions and support all of our people, because we are all one big family, you know, and those who are stuck, lost, still swirling, still caught, still with the blue pill, or whatever you want to call it, still following in the pathway of the sheeple and going off the cliffs, believing in these lies and the system that it's functioning, working perfectly, and for the people, I can't expend my energy there. I will go so far, I guess I'd say, not that I'm going to turn my back on people, but I think that the energy, the frequency and energy of what's happening now is crucial for us to pay attention to, because I find myself getting frustrated and appalled sometimes, and really stunned at what people are doing and what they're saying and what they believe in. And of course, we all have our right to believe in what we choose, yep. Right?
But I'm right there with you. I agree with everything you said, because I can't sit there and I can't, there's that saying that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But as long as we're out there doing our job, which is putting out the different perspective of the overall mess as we perceive it, then at least somebody can hear that, and they might have the opportunity to, if they, you know, want to look into what we're saying, find out the truth. You know? Otherwise,
well,
if nobody's saying it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've all experienced people's knee-jerk reaction. I mean, I've certainly probably had knee-jerk reactions myself. It's part of human nature, but the knee-jerk reaction is ramping up, where people, whatever you say, or if you have a different perspective, or if you do have some form of reality or based on truth or fact, there's a knee-jerk reaction if that person is really caught in a deep system where they can't get out of it. Their knee-jerk reaction is to just scream at you or shut you off,
yep,
or pull you whatever, or delete you.
It's an response. That's what it is. It's an indoctrinated response.
It is exactly true. It's the Pavlov's dog.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what this system is. And I feel for people. I feel for everyone, because I know the depth of the issues and the controlling factor that is really dark that we are under for so many centuries here, and that we really, I just say we're in deep doo-doo, because now we have another piece to the bigger puzzle, which has recently come to the surface. But we've questioned this all along. I mean, I talked about the ET equation here, the other mysterious whatevers before, but now we have a space force, new military, branch, and some of saying, well, we already have an Air Force. What do we need? A Space Force.
Yeah.
But so I'm concerned because we talk about the gold diggers, and this is called a gold rush. The gold rush, resource rush, to other planets now. This is NASA is ramping up and being funded by our tax money, by the way, to go beyond into other space realms and other planets. And so now this is where, this is what we're looking at now. Why do we need a space force? Well, because obviously there's going to be a reason to have some military force out there in the cosmos, because, you know, that's, you know, typical. We have to, this is New Horizons. This is invasive. This is Manifest Destiny going out there. After Manifest Destiny was broadly brought to Turtle Island and all other places and countries, now still happening, and now it's going out there into the new world. And I said, you know what? We are all talking about the new world or one world order, new world order. I'm thinking, well, maybe the new world order is out there. It's not here, because they've been ordering this world very well, haven't they?
Well, you know, it just kind of blows me away that there, in the King James Version Bible, in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And okay, look, maybe some people say, well, this book was written by a man and it's flawed and all that. Give him whatever he got. But it's like Paul Harvey in 1965. All right? What he said in 1965, you see it right now. And whoever wrote the words that, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." How many years ago was that written, and why is it that our leadership and on our companies and corporations that are the higher echelons of the big pyramid that we are the base of, why is that not like, I mean, isn't that what we're witnessing, quite literally?
Yes, I feel that. I do. I think that, and I have, you know, concluded a while back that, you know, people had been screaming about the elite and the cabal and the Bilderbergs and the Rothschilds and all these money people at the top controlling everything, the banks, the financial system, the education system, the religious system, the political system. This was all put in place by elite people.
Yep.
We've talked about that. And there's a faction that is very obviously missing, and that was deliberate, and that was about the clan mothers or the sacred feminine or any woman who may look at things differently. There's this really interesting article, I can't remember where it was, I think it was in Georgia, there was about five black women who are in the judicial system there, and the title was "Why All These Women." Something about the fact that because we do things differently, and I say yes, women do things differently, and I thought that was fascinating, because Patty, myself, and Luca were recently talking about the clan mother system and Two Dog as well. Why is this so different? Why? What is the difference? Why the grandmothers, mothers, and women in these positions in the clan mothers or matrilineal system? Because women do things differently.
And,
okay, so
and that
but
makes
but
women a danger to the power structure.
Absolutely. That's why all the systems that we are under today were put in place by the dominator patriarchy rulers.
Yep.
Nothing to do with a woman's perspective or a grandmother's perspective. That was eliminated deliberately. But what I'm saying is, so coming to conclude that, okay, yeah, the Bilderbergs, the Rothschilds, the this and that, and so on, but what is behind them? Because this is so dark. You know, I came to conclude that these people have sold their souls to the devil. You know, that phrase we use. Well, what does that mean? It means that you have no conscience, that you don't care about people dying. You don't care the thousands and thousands of young people that are dying in your wars that you created for your pocket. You don't care about people being inundated with the chemicals and pesticides, and you don't care. You have no conscience.
And picture Hillary Clinton sitting there whenever they murdered Gaddafi, wringing her hands with a big smile on her face, all saying, "We came, we saw, and he's dead." I mean, I saw pure evil.
With glee.
Yeah, with glee.
Evil on her face, like a grimace on her face of glee. Now, and also, you know what? You are a deplorable.
Yeah.
I am a deplorable. I didn't vote for Trump. But I'm a deplorable. That's what she was talking about. The people who are not in her echelon, we are deplorables. The people that will bow down to her and you know, whatever, lick her toes or her, the you know, whatever it is that will vote for her, they are part of her echelon, but she doesn't give a crap about them anyway.
Oh, no. She proves it by the way she acts to people, you know? She's the queen.
But she's not the only one. We have a lot of people like that. So
sure we do.
the Hillary syndrome, you know, the syndrome of this, I don't care about you.
But
if
I would have saw a man doing exactly what Hillary did, I would feel the same way about that man as I did about Hillary, because who can celebrate a death of any other human for any purpose? I understand.
I agree
with
you.
If there's a bad guy out there and he's doing terrible atrocities to children or anybody for that matter, then you got to do what you got to do. If you have to take that man's life in order to save thousands and thousands of other, if it's you know, fully justified self-defense, I could understand that. But even at that point, to take glee in the death of any human,
to take a life, to take anyone's life.
Yep.
It's not in my nature to jump up and down with glee. I mean, I may not agree with what that person was doing. I may wish that that person or hope that that person, you know, receives their due, of course, but to be gleeful over the death of another human being said a lot about that woman.
Yep, and people don't like the fact that, because somebody might be religious, that they don't like that particular religion or ideology or whatever, but I want to point something out. In not just World War One, but World War Two, there were cases of many, many soldiers, because they had spiritual beliefs, that went to war with a certain amount of ammunition, and they came back with the exact amount of ammunition. They never fired their rifle, not one time, because of those spiritual beliefs.
There are stories like that, that's for sure.
So,
yeah,
I would rather somebody believe in a higher power, even if I would be classified as an atheist and I didn't believe in any God, and when you die, you die. I would rather trust that guy as far as when it comes down to war issues, because he's going to be more cautious, more hesitant because of his spiritual beliefs not to fire the first shot, or not even fire a shot if possible. You see what I mean? So,
Well, let's talk about this piece, because, you know, to me, it's like, even if you don't believe in a God or a creator or something, I don't know, you're believing in something. If you don't have a spiritual strength, but you're a good person, or you want to be a good person, you want to be a kind person, you don't want to take a life, you know, or you want to help people, okay. I think it's about how we live our lives. You don't have to believe in a God. You don't. It's about, okay,
a good moral foundation.
It's a moral foundation to be kind and compassionate as a human being to another human being.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a religion. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to. But how are you living your life? Because how will that make you feel, you see? What's going on, and what are you creating, and what are you manifesting in your own experience in life? And those that are close to you is all I'm saying, you know? It's like, I think we have to take responsibility for what we are doing, what we are creating. And I feel, frankly, that, well, I do have a strong spiritual foundation. I do have a connectedness to create a great spirit, you know, Wang Han Tang. I do believe in this. It's not for you to believe, it's just the way I believe. But in my experience, in my personal experience, I call it the spiritual foundation. You can call it a belief foundation, a system there. You believe that it is good to be kind, you know, good to be compassionate. It is important to be kind and compassionate and help others. It's the same thing. I'm just happening to call it a spiritual foundation, you know. I'm just saying.
I want to read something that may blow your mind, and then we got to get Patty in here somehow or another.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I want to read something that may blow your mind, and you can Google this if you want. When we talk about the value of a human life, the value of a human life to me is unlimited. There's no value you can put on a human life because it's priceless. Right? Because, I believe our Creator didn't create any trash, only treasure. But the Environmental Protection Agency, as of 2011, the Environmental Protection Agency set the value of a human life at $9.1 million for one human life. Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration put it at $7.9 million. And the Department of Transportation figured was around $6 million for one human life. A monetary price for one human life. And these are three government agencies out there. I want you to contemplate on that. What do you think about that?
I'm speechless.
I told you it'd blow your mind.
I'm speechless. And the purpose is? the purpose being?
When you talk about the title of your car, all right, you got a title of your car, you got a deed to your house, you got a birth certificate. It's a title to you. All right? You got a social security number, that's to your account. And if the value of a human life is at $9.1 million via the Environmental Protection Agency, or only at $7.9 million according to the Food and Drug Administration, or the Department of Transportation where says your life is worth $6 million, what happens when your family member is killed by another family member? Is the insurance company going to give you the full $6 million value according to the Department of Transportation, or is somebody out there going to get very rich because you just died and they took your account that they've been using all these years behind the scenes?
Well, let's do the numbers. Let's look at the how the value or what do you say, the monetary value of Clinton, or the monetary value of Obama, or the monetary value of Trump, or the monetary value of all these elite. Let's look at that. We're way down on the way. We have no value.
If we're worth at the very least $6 million according to the Department of Transportation, and we're just the average working Joe, how much are the global elites worth? Trillions?
Well, Bernie, what's his face there, who was running for president, I think he just accrued something like $9 million for his book tours. I don't know, his speech tours. And wait till you find out. I mean, there's like what the Clintons have reaped from their speech tours is mind-boggling.
Well, there you go. They've already exceeded their value of $9.1 million according to the Environmental Protection. Why is the Environmental Protection Agency even talking about the value of a person to begin with? Seriously.
Well, that's a good question.
Why would the
courts know how much to award in the case of wrongful deaths?
Yeah, but who do you know that ever got $6 million because somebody else killed their family? Or even in wartime when the soldiers come back and they can't get pennies on the dollar, you know, what they would have made at an average job, they only get a fraction of what they could have made. And then Social Security, after you worked your entire life, you're only getting pennies on the dollar of what you were valued right there.
But that money that you're worth is not meant for you.
No, it's not. Well, who's getting it? That's the question. It ain't me or you. When you're on
Social Security, you're only getting pennies. In other words, everything has a value.
Yeah.
And the world runs on this algorithm, let's say. And so they have to place a value. And the upper echelon cannot be devalued, you know, unless the elite decide that this guy's out, and then he becomes devalued. None of us in this system will ever find any real worth, because there is no real worth in this system. And what you're seeing here with your Social Security number and with the insurance and all the things and what the government says you're worth and all, it has little meaning to me. I mean, it really has no meaning whatsoever, because I'm never ever going to see any of that. There's nothing I can do that will procure my worth in monetary value toward me. I cannot go up there and say, hey, dude, you said I'm worth $9 million, give me my money. That's you know, because the EPA is going to say, well, you have to die first or lose a leg or something and come and sue us, and then we'll give it to you.
Ah.
You know? And I'm not willing to do that, right?
Yeah, I ain't either. That's crazy.
Yeah. The system is not geared. See, we think that the elite and all of this, that money is the key, but money is the tool. Power is the key. And they will use this tool against us from the time we're born until we're dead. And anyone who's sappy enough to buy into this material worth, this monetary value system, they're going to use and they're going to abuse. The people who sit up there and make all of these controlling issues, the ones who send the messages to governments and tell them go and massacre these hundreds of thousands of people, those people don't care about money. They don't have a use for it. They're beyond that. We, the people, are the only ones that make this money game go. And they know that. And they know that if, as long as they keep us under the thumb and say, without this tool, you'll never exist, that we will do whatever it is they need to do, they need us to do. Like Barb was talking, when the Spanish first came to the Americas, they wanted them Indians in them caves, and they wanted them digging that gold. And the moment that they did not dig that gold, they had no worth. They were thrown to the dogs. They were beaten. They were murdered. That's what we are worth to them. The worth that they tell you, all of these numbers they throw out, they're fictitious. They have no meaning and no reality behind them. But you live by that system, because if you don't, they're going to pull you out and throw you to the dogs.
Right, if you're on Medicaid or Medicare or any kind of government social program, you're getting pennies as opposed to whatever the somebody go out there and look what it would cost you for one Band-Aid after you went to the emergency room. It'll blow your doors off when you find out how much things cost. And when you get into the military, find out how much the military pays for a hammer or a wrench or whatever. It'll blow your doors off. So when they say $9.1 million, that ain't talking about the money you're going to get or your family's going to get if anything happens. So you have to mean, it means that you're going to generate that money whether you get hurt
exactly.
Or whatever. There you go. That's the deal right there. And
what would ever happen? What would ever happen if we all decided that we weren't going to use money anymore, that we didn't need money to prove our worth?
Well, then I think
it would all cease.
Yep, the power structure would fall apart.
What would happen if we didn't participate? And I think people are starting to stop participating in certain ways, and they're being put on the radar.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, taking notice.
Yep.
They're gonna take notice.
Proof of what you just said was just in the alternative energy, when people get off the grid as far as going on solar, if they ain't connected to the grid in some form or fashion, they can get fined for it. And if they collect rainwater, they get fined for it. There are all kinds of examples of when you try to get away from the system, how they're going to fine you for it. Oh, well, we need the tax money from the power company in order to work on the roads. And so that's how they will justify it before the eyes of the average Joe. Well, that makes sense. We got to have school taxes so that the kids in school, even if you ain't got no kids in school, even if you never had a kid.
There is a law that had to be passed This is how bad this is. There is a law that had to be passed so that the poor people, that would be me, okay, and other people like me, who could not afford to pay high heating bills in the wintertime, they had to make a law that said that the company could not cut off their gas. Think about that.
Yeah.
That they had to make a law. And why did they have to make that law?
Because dead winter, they'd shut you off in a heartbeat.
And people were dying.
Yep.
Well, that's still happening, by the way. My friend, a couple of years ago, couldn't pay her fuel bill, and she was struggling to pay it, and they told her, "We're sorry, we're not delivering fuel to you." She spent the whole winter...
Yeah, what kind of humane system is this?
Yeah.
What kind of system has to create a law to protect
people? It doesn't even work. The law is not working.
From the cold. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And people dying. Yeah.
Right. It's a sick system that we have. This system, it doesn't help you, and it doesn't help me. It doesn't help your dog or your cat. Your cat and your dog are suffering in the system the same as we are. There is nothing immune in this system.
But yes. if you have now, we see people beginning to determine to be free in their way and step away from the system as best they can, and they're being ostracized for it or suffering for it or whatever, as Shaziz was saying. But if more and more and more and more people did this, then you have to say, then we've got something going.
Yep.
You know, we have to do this. We have to come together and start stepping away from the system, even if it's incrementally. We have to do this. If you only have a few doing this, they're the ones that are suffering and being taken down and ostracized and punished or whatever. But if we all come together and we all determine that we will no longer stand for this, we don't want this, we want a better life, and even if it's a struggle to begin with, if we're all doing this together, because we're all in the other system together, it may begin to really make a difference. They are afraid of our freedom being free. They are afraid of us.
Yeah, and there's a reason for it. May in the chat room put out a deal about what we were talking about. She said they also have a life insurance on that account, double kickback on death. And that's the truth. But it doesn't stop there. When you think about when a bank forecloses on the home, when you go to sign that loan, they have insurance against that loan from some insurance agency, and you got what's called title insurance, that in case somebody made some mistake in the paperwork, that they will have to cover it to a certain extent. So there's insurance on every single thing under the sun with any kind of financial transaction. So what happens is, you get fall on hard times, you get sick, or your car breaks down, you lose your job, and you can't pay that loan. Well, automatically, the moment you forfeit on that loan, they can collect from the insurance from that loan, and they get paid for that house. And they get to repossess that house, and they get to resell that house, reinsure that house, and so multiple times over, depending on who can afford to pay for the entirety of the house and finally own it to their belief, they get paid. So they could sell the same piece of property over and over, reinsuring it every single time in case you don't pay. They get reimbursed for it, and they get government kickbacks in case something goes awry or for tax purposes or whatever. You have to insure against fire damage on your own side. So when you buy a house or you buy a vehicle, depending on the value of that vehicle, you got to cover full coverage insurance for the length of that loan in case anything goes wrong, that you could still pay for it. But if for some reason you can't afford your insurance, or you turn around and fall behind on your bills and they foreclose on you, no matter what happens, their base is covered. If you're in your house and it burns down, your insurance company pays off that loan, and you're homeless unless they build you, unless you have a large enough insurance policy to pay that loan off and build you a new house. That's why the average Joe continuously gets screwed. And every time something like these HUD organizations come in there, which are government secured loans, it's just a plus for the banking system as well, because now the government says that if you default on your loan, that they'll cover that loan. And so no matter what happens, the bankers are going to get paid. They're going to get their money, regardless of whether you pay your mortgage or not. They will get paid, and then they will take the house, and then they will resell the house and do the same thing again over and over as many times as they can flip that house. They'll flip that house, and if you think they won't foreclose on you, you'll get a surprise. They'll do it in a heartbeat because they know they're going to get paid and they're going to get the property back. That's, you know, if that ain't stacked against the people, folks, you got to step back. You got to step way back, and you got to look at the big picture, and you got to read the fine print of every single document you sign. You got to read the fine print of everything on the internet that you sign. Most people, they want a piece of software that says it's free on the internet. So without even going down and reading the terms of the agreement that you just signed, you put that little click down there, yeah, I agree. And you just said that you don't care that they spy on you or give your personal information out. You don't care if they follow you everywhere you go. And then whenever you find out that places like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all the different social medias out there are trading your information or giving it to government agencies, then you're angry. But like Patty has tried to say it many times, and like Barbara and myself and everybody else been on here but trying to say many a times, you can't not hold yourself accountable, because you are the person at the bottom of that pyramid, that is the base of that pyramid, that is holding up the same power structure that you despise. So if you keep feeding the beast, it's going to keep on eating, and it's going to get fatter and fatter. There's got to come a time when the average Joe and the average Jane decide enough is enough, and you start working, build your own systems alongside that system, and eventually that system, when you stop feeding it, will become irrelevant. Somebody tell me.
Well, let me tell you that that is also part of this system, the people rising up. Look back. When civilizations rise,
yep,
the people are there, they build it. When civilizations fall, it is because the people have been so inundated with this tyranny,
yep,
that they rise up and they tear this system down. All of this is manufactured.
And then
they want us to tear this system down because they've already got the next one ready for us to build back up.
Yep.
But that's why I talk about this window of opportunity that we have, because we don't have to build their system.
Nope.
We're going to take this system down. They're going to make us take this system down, either their way or our way.
But my suggestion,
it's going to happen.
My suggestion is we leave their system up while we build our system. And it,
well, we got to do it now, though.
Yep.
That's the thing. You know? I agree.
That's the only possibility. And if you want knowledge out there such as alternative energy, the only way you're going to get it is to pass that information to somebody. And people actually have to take these ideas and run with them. Don't go ask the government for permission to build you a homemade generator. Build it. Don't even tell them about it. And if you live in a place where you can't have solar panels out in your yard for whatever aesthetically pleasing sights to the eye or whatever, be creative. Build them into the roof of your house. hide them in the bottom of your swimming pool. You know? Out of sight, out of mind. Don't tell them you're doing it. Just do it. You know? Even if you're still connected to the power grid, and you're making enough energy that your bill is like being seriously supplemented, you're getting a $10 bill from the power company, that $10 is a whole lot better than paying anywhere from $400 to $600, or even like in Australia, my friend said he paid like $1,250 a month utility bills to live in a small studio apartment. That's crazy. That's... I would have me solar panels and batteries in every single room. I don't care. I wouldn't ask the government if I could do it. I'd just do it. Flat out. Tell me why I'm crazy, folks.
Well, I'm going to read this to you here. We talk about the system. We talk about the cabal. We're talking about all this stuff, right? And some of this is really pretty intense, but it's factual, I really feel. I guess I'd say if you're not happy, if you don't have that inner peace that we all really deserve, or deserved, we talk about the system, people call it the Matrix. So just to say there are ways to deprogram yourself, because that's, I think, is the first step, because we're so reliant and dependent upon the system, and we believe in that we're living freely, and we believe that we're sovereign and so on and so forth, and this is a free country and blah blah blah. So here's something for you, escaping the Matrix. There's 10 ways. The deprogramming is very important because we are programmed and we've been manipulated and programmed for centuries. So it's like, here's what we do. Most people force themselves to wake up in the morning, dress up, drive straight to work, drive back home about 8 hours later, watch TV, and go to sleep, only to repeat the same routine next day for almost their entire lives. We consider this normal, even healthy, but it's not healthy. And, you know, we know that life can be immensely beautiful if we remove ourselves from this programmed circumstance, you know. But we have habits, we have dogmatic beliefs. These have turned us into mindless automatons, this article says, who don't enjoy life. We just follow a predetermined path that was handed to us by society. And who's that society? The society is the system, or the Matrix, or the cabal, or the elite, or the controlling factor. So this programming can be broken if we realize that it's in our hands to transform the way we're living. And, you know, it is in our hands. And we have to gather courage in our hearts to think and act differently. And this is going to take courage. This is going to take a lot for us to change our lifestyle and step away from this Matrix or the dependency or these ideologies and so on. So light, we can turn our life around. It should be and can be filled with laughter, creativity, and love. You know, I'm reading from this article. So here it is. Break free from the shackles of organized religion. Organized religion imposes on people what to think and what not to do, what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. Basically what organized religion does is it prevents people from using their own, you know, like critical thinking to seek the truth for them and reaching our own conclusions and their reasoning and life experiences. It teaches us to basically blindly follow a set of morals and rules. We're talking emotional suppression and suffering on a level that, you know, is pretty enormous. Stop giving your power away to authority. We've been taught to doubt ourselves and do only what authority commands us to. So we've learned to not trust ourselves, so we choose to let others take responsibility for our lives. And we've all fallen into this position. We support politicians who do nothing but lie to us in order to satisfy their hunger for power, and being under the illusion that by doing so we're choosing a brighter future for ourselves, when in reality the options we're given in our pseudo-democratic system, right, these are limited, and it's pretty much the same either way.
No.
So if you want to create positive change in the world, stop giving a few others power over your life. Go ahead.
Let me point something out here. This is crazy. This is really crazy. This is crazy as I don't even know why this just pounded me in the head. But the people are the oppressors, quite literally. And if you think I'm crazy, think about this.
Exactly. Right.
You have a dog on a chain out there in your front yard. He's got a nifty little doghouse, but he's on a chain. He's also within a fence because you are on a chain and you are within a fence, which is also, you know, the government being the one holding you on a chain, because if you allow that dog to run free, then you will be fined by the government for your dog because he's your property. He's running free. So the government keeps you on a chain, and you keep your dog on a chain, and you keep your next-door neighbor, who's also in a fence, on a chain, because you got the fences up to keep your borderlines secure so that your neighbor don't get in your yard and you don't get in his yard and vice versa, and you know your boundaries. But
true.
When your neighbor's grass gets tall, And you say, oh, well, like I mowed my lawn. Why shouldn't he have to mow his? You call up the lawman. Okay, you just put your neighbor back on a chain. Plus, you punished your neighbor just like the government would have punished you because your dog, which was on the chain, somehow broke free and ran out there and maybe may or may not have scared somebody or even possibly bit somebody. You're held liable. So you have to have homeowner's insurance so that you can keep that dog on the chain inside the fence so that you and your dog are secure and you can live happily ever after in a free world, air quotes.
Well, I have are the ones with our fingers on that electric shock button.
That's right.
That Barb talked about. We're the ones.
Well,
nobody's... No stranger is standing there pressing that button. It's you and me.
It's us. Well, you have... Here's two stories for you. Last month, there was this whole thing going viral, as things are happening now virally. People take a cell phone video of somebody doing something, and it goes viral. So there was a group of people in a park, I don't know where it was, one city, designated a barbecue area, this was called, where you can have your picnic. And this group of people were having a barbecue. And this woman, who happened to be a different color, came along with her cell phone, and she stands there calling the police on these people having a picnic because she was upset because they were using charcoal briquettes. And so this went viral. So this woman was standing there screaming, trying to get the police to come because these people are having a picnic. They're having a barbecue in a designated area in a park. Next thing happened yesterday, I guess some little 8-year-old girl is selling water on the outside of her house in another city, I think it's San Francisco somewhere, and this woman is videoed by another person with a cell phone calling the police on this 8-year-old girl for selling water without a license. This is what we've come to.
You are the oppressors. Stop it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I'm just going to finish this up. Question the current economic system, which we are doing. Detach yourself from materialism. This is a big one, folks. I really believe it because, well, we buy things, we're told to buy things, we're tempted the sugar is, you know, put out in our face to eat this sugar, get this sugar, you'll feel happy, you'll feel good, it will make your life better, and you'll be living a wonderful life in the U.S. of A. Now, be mindful of what you put into your body. You know, that's another thing, because we are slowly being poisoned, for sure. I know a lot of people don't have money to buy organic food, which is, you know, tends to be higher, but you can still eat better. You know, you can still pay more attention to what you are putting into your body. Choose your news sources wisely. Now, let's talk about that. Are there any news sources to actually choose from?
Shazam's Radio's one.
There you go. And read eye-opening, mind-empowering books. Well, I guess that's called educating yourself to something positive rather than looking at the media, which is negative, or other things that are terrifying you. Escape the herd mentality. You are a unique individual, and we all have unique talents and gifts to offer the world, you know. But we've been suppressed. Our individuality has been suppressed deliberately, and that's, again, to become the sheeple or the herd. And be expressive, you know, creatively express yourself, you know. We are all born creative. We slowly our creativity has been suppressed to so much that we've almost forgotten that we're creative beings. You know, be creative, use your mind in the ways of living and realize that you have the power to manifest the kind of life you desire. You know, now some people may poo-poo that because they may say, well, I'm under this system and life sucks and I've kind of given up. Now, that's your choice, I guess you'd say. And mindfulness, right?
Hey, pause there for a second. You said something that just blew my doors off. You know that there are people in prison systems who figure out a way that even in that, even though that they're in prison, to basically build themselves a comfortable life, even though they might even build a society within that prison to where they're the leader of a power structure of a particular gang or a group of individuals in there, but they're there you see underneath a government, which would be the prison guards, down to the prisoners, even in that prisonership or whatever you want to call it, if that's the word, there is a hierarchy of a chain of command going down to the little guy who is one doing all the dirty work for the guy at the top. But if people aren't creative, how is it that they can be in prison and still find a way to make prison tolerable by learning that system inside and out and knowing that what they can get by with what they can't? What do you think of that example there?
Necessity. You know, that's necessity is the mother of invention. Isn't that what they say? When we find ourselves, it's like right now, 20 years ago, none of this was out. You couldn't hear anybody talking on any of the topics that we talked about. People were living their lives. Life was good.
Yep.
Everything was copacetic. No need to rock the boat anywhere. In fact, if you would have come up 20 years ago and said anything that was conspiratorial about your government, they would have just laughed you away. Today is quite different. All of a sudden, after 9/11, well, after the Oklahoma City bombing, because a lot of people here began to be red-pilled at that time.
Yep.
And started asking the questions. And then 9/11 came, and people were assured that something was not right. So people started asking questions. They started doing research, and then they found out that there was a big rabbit hole.
Yep.
And we've been going down it ever since. We have developed systems of energy. We have developed systems of health. We have developed systems of housing. We have conquered all the issues that we face. We have the solutions out of necessity. We saw what was happening, and we've developed because of that.
Yep.
Solutions to these problems. That's how we work. You're exactly right. The problem being is that the average guy over there, he gets in his car and he goes to work. He comes home and there was a storm, and the wife says, "Oh, well, we had a big windstorm here." And he looks and he says, "Oh man, I got a couple of shingles off. I better do something about that roof." He's going to do it right away.
Yep.
The big problem out there is that he's being slow killed by the air, the water, the food, the medical system, the governmental system.
Well, not only that.
Shingles not laying there in front of him for that.
No, but not only that, something that Barbara was saying, it was basically pointing right straight to what you just explained, but we the people are like prisoners, and out of necessity, having to figure out ways to survive within the system to even be even remotely comfortable, if that makes any sense, what we're talking about.
Two Dog has a question. I'm going to read it out. What if you're running for office and you have an agenda, and you will do a crooked thing, and media calls, quote, him out, would you not tell the people it's fake news? Woke me up out of a deep sleep when I thought of it. I think this is a Trump question. But I want to say something to begin with. If you're running for office, your agenda doesn't count. It's the agenda of the people who elect you. And that's not the people of the country. That's the people who sit behind the elected officials and tell them what their agenda is.
Yep.
Just saying.
And
the media never calls them out.
That example of the prisoner underneath the government of the prison guards is basically the hierarchy. You're doing things within the limitations that you are allowed to do, and so whatever Trump did before he got in the office, if you know, he made his money, he did it underneath the what he was allowed to do legally by law, and maybe even if possible some illegal deal. But nonetheless,
well, I guess it wasn't a Trump question. Two Dog says it's not a Trump question, but it struck me that way, Two Dog, because the word him in there, I don't know. I'm sorry about that.
Either way, we've all been indoctrinated, enslaved by the same doggone system to the extent that we oppress each other.
Yeah, it's not the politician. The politician is a patsy. The politician is a noob. The politician is an idiot with no real... When somebody gets ready to run, they do research and they say, okay, what's popular opinion? And they want to know what the people think. And that's what they base their platforms on, either pro or con of whatever the people have brought to the surface. They run on that platform, but they have no intentions whatsoever fulfilling either side of that. They just want to get elected.
Yep.
And the people who sit behind them in the high places, they will decide who is going to actually be elected, and they're going to decide what they're actually going to do. That's why a lot of times you have these people who run for office and they say, you know, they come out and they say, I am going to put an end to this. I am going to change this. And they really do mean it. They may really mean that they want to do good, but they don't realize that they're not in control. And they won't be in control. And when they get into office, they have no means to fulfill any of the promises they made, even if their intention was to do so.
Yep.
Because they are one person against a system, just like you and me. They have no collateral to bring to the table and lay on there. They are at the behest of the people behind them. Nobody in this country or any other country has been able to bring a policy into action that serves the people. The proof is in the pudding.
Yep.
Look at the governments. Look at the governments, and where do you stand?
Bob.
And how many politicians have come and gone promising to make change for you and for me? How many people?
Right on the head. Track record.
Today it's difficult to really determine what is fake news and what is truth. We're learning this.
Fake is the new truth.
That's right. But I'm also saying the way technology can manipulate what anyone is saying to make it look like they're saying this.
Yep.
You can take photos and you can manipulate the photos, photoshopped. I mean, there's so many things today that it is really difficult to even assess, is this fake or is this real? You know,
yep.
I'm just saying, so we could say to someone,
exactly,
okay,
T-Dog, exactly, exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Yes. I'm just... Sorry, Barb.
Go ahead, Barb.
Okay. So, if we say, they're like Two Dog says, if they lie, we know they lie. Well, we do know they all lie. This is the first step. We gotta get this. We know now, or we should know now, that all these politicians, even though they may have, like you said, they may have a desire to make something good, but in the overall picture, it is a lie that they are speaking because they are controlled. Okay, there's the system that is controlling these people. They may have a good intention, you know, their first statements or whatever, or their desire may be to tell the truth or to help, but ultimately it is all a lie. So if we basically know politicians ultimately are lying because they are controlled, period. That's it. So we have to get it into our heads that all politicians are really controlled, so therefore everything they're saying is really a lie to begin with.
You know what I learned last night? That I never thought of this before, But I thought, you know, I see the collusion of this system. And it's not just in the political system. It flows all the way down through all of our, the health system, the education system, all of these systems, right?
Yes.
I was listening to Mike Montaigne last night, and he was talking about a correspondence between a banker and his lawyer, because Mike had written a letter to them. And this banker was not aware of how the Federal Reserve and the World Banks rule the world on fiat currency. He did not know that he was issuing debt as a loan. This is a banker. This is the president of a bank. And it blew my mind to think that this man who thought he was doing good because he was a banker, you know, and he was making it possible for people to have a loan and people to have a home or a car or whatever. And he was actually putting these people in a debt that they could not ever get out of. He was serving the Federal Reserve, but he didn't know it.
Well, you just...
He didn't know it.
You just put the whole big picture in perspective, because everyone that you've ever heard throughout society who said, well, I was just doing my job, whether it be,
yes,
you know, Germany or the police departments or whatever, they were just doing their job. And the way that the average Joe gets involved is by making it sound good. I mean, it sounds good. Like, if you actually think about the word... what's it, Doug, on social justice or,
engineering.
Yeah, when it comes down to, like, communist society, community, communism, all right, what is communism? Look up the actual definition of what is communism, all right? Look up socialism, all these different isms, but it sounds good in theory. That, you know, everybody's equal, everybody is taken care of, you know, maybe the government tells you what job you can have and what shirt you can wear and what you can say.
Well, it all sounds good, but ultimately it really isn't.
Yeah.
Like the people, my ancestors, my family, have always said, looks real good on paper.
Yeah.
It looks real good on paper, and everybody falls in step and believes that it is really good, even those that are in the middle of the system, basically thinking that they're doing something good, like that banker. You know,
well,
it's ultimately
a prime example.
Yeah.
It just blew my mind when I heard that. I mean, it set me back. I had to just sit there and think, you know, well, this is a man who is responsible for making sure that this agenda of slavery and servitude continues, and he doesn't even know that he's dealing with debt instruments. He does not understand that this system, this monetary system, is a debt system. He thinks
he believes that it is a good thing, and this is where we are all going wrong.
Yep.
In the same kind of mindset, as we believe that this system or this political person or this government or this country is really ultimately to help, meant to help all the people and raise all of us up and help us all, when it's not true.
Democracy, everyone is supposedly has a voice, right?
No. Yeah, you have it, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, until you speak out against the system,
but
then forget it.
The irony of the whole doggone deal is that United States was never a democracy, but yet everybody out there, even the president of the United States...
Even the political people, even the political people say that.
We got to protect our
democracy. Well, they're
the
ones that started that.
We got to protect our democracy. What?
Yeah. Well,
what democracy? Democracy's mob rules. If 100 people says that the one person is bad and should be executed, then guess what? Goodbye. That's democracy.
Look, you better watch what you're saying, Shaziz, because I got my finger on the buzzer and I'm gonna I'm gonna push it.
Yeah, call the man so that you got booted thugs.
Hey, Patty, would you share? Patty, you know, the other day when you and I were Skyping, talking on Skype, would you share what's happening with your Skype? This is mind-blowing to me. This is mind-blowing to me. The memes that were popping up. This is creepy.
Centova, what is it? Let me get here to the chat because it'll put it up here for me. Let's see. Get that there.
This freaked me out.
Cortana. And so Barb is texting or talking to me, right?
Yeah.
And Cortana, this app, is wanting me to choose the replies to her that it's putting up here. It's like she'll say something, and it'll be something sad. So Cortana says, let's tell her we're crying, you know, or let's tell her that's sad, or,
wow.
or let, you know, But it goes further than that, because if you're on Skype and Cortana is there with you, and then you go to your browser, it's going to show you things that you were talking about. This Cortana thing in Skype is listening to you. This Cortana thing is sending that information in this algorithm to Google or whoever's in control of this, and they're doing your browsing for you. They're deciding
how you should respond.
Yeah, and what you're going to see. I mean, it's crazy.
That was pretty mind-blowing.
Well, when it comes down to when all these artificial intelligence get basically perfected. So now you've got this artificial program that literally thinks for itself. It answers your questions. Like when you go to Google, the example would be you type in a word and you get the first couple letters in. It's already got the rest of the words out there or suggestions of what you're about to say before. And
well,
it's already popping up things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that,
well, Cortana sent me a message through Skype. Sent me a Skype message. Cortana sent me a Skype message, and I'm looking at this message that's come through, and I said, who is this from? I don't know a Cortana. I didn't realize it was the thing. So I go to it, and it tells me, it says, why don't you let me help you? I can help you. I can help you in your conversations. Just let me know, and I'll turn on. Well, the son of a gun is on. I deleted Cortana from my conversations, but it's still there, and I can't find a way to shut it off. But it sent me a Skype, because I wasn't using it.
That's
wow.
Weird,
tell me that I should use it, that it would make things better for me.
Well, Stephen says Cortana is Microsoft artificial intelligence. Once you have accepted it on installation, you can't disable it properly without a reinstall of your OS.
Right, and they forced me, after I was gone for this month and I came back on and I started up my Skype, it would not let me open Skype until I updated. I had no choice.
There's a program similar to that on this other computer that I got that keeps asking me to talk to it, to give it commands. You know, what do I want to look for? Basically, would start tracking my speech. I remember a long time ago, there was this program called Dragon Point and Speak, where you basically sit there and talk in a microphone, and it would print out the text. And after you got it trained to understand your dialect or the way that you speak, like, you know, I got maybe a redneck accent, according to some people. I'm from Missouri or whatever. But the way that I talk sounds different than somebody in maybe, you know, New York would speak. But once this thing learns how you're pronouncing words, and you go in and train it, it can actually print out what you're saying without you ever having to type. But the creepy thing about that is what you mentioned earlier about the technology, where you can take pictures of people and little clippets of what they're what they had previously said in the past, and mix all that together to make somebody look like they're saying something that they never even said. That's creepy. And you got an artificial intelligence sitting there emailing you, say, hey, let me help you talk, you know, hey, let's work together. And kind of if technology goes the way that a lot of the people out there that's concerned about, where eventually we reach this singularity where man and machine merge, where at that point does the human spirit go?
Well, I was going to say, so this artificial intelligence is saying, let me help you. I will tell you how to respond. So basically, you don't even have to think. You don't have to have a feeling.
But you know, there's so many people, young people right now, including my son, who's not really young, but he's in his 30s, mid, upper 30s, but they appreciate this. They think it's cool. They think it's awesome.
That's the problem, the young generation. So, but I have a question. Does anybody know what that new technology is that people are buying for their homes, that basically you just talk to it and you say, tell me what this is, or what, where to, give me this, play this Beethoven, whatever it is. What, do you know what it is?
Starts with an A.
Alexa.
So here's the thing that's happening to these people. This has happened more than once, is these people are in their house minding their own business. Nobody's talking to this machine. And suddenly they hear the machine, and this has happened to two different people, as far as I've seen. Suddenly the machine will say, all that I'm seeing are dead bodies everywhere.
That's creepy.
It's very creepy. But these people, these people are complaining and freaking out about it. But guess what they're doing?
Lounging on the couch?
No, they're not getting rid of this machine, are they?
Oh, I thought you
had those people that woke up in the middle of the night, too, and Alexa was laughing.
Yes, that creepy laugh. But I'm just saying, so here we are with this artificial intelligence telling you, well, I'll think for you, I'll speak for you, I'll tell you what to say, what to do, how to, whatever. There we are. It's in your house and people are buying it. It's pretty...
So what happens?
So what if it's really like a branch of the CIA or the NSA that's sitting back there, and these are just guys with microphones or stuff that are sitting back there just laughing their butt off at you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
but if,
you know.
If it is artificial intelligence and it's learning, what happens the day that artificial intelligence is plugged into everything and suddenly decides that humans are the problem? We can't even get along. We can't agree on nothing. And as far as, like, I even hear humans saying it. Some people are saying humans are a virus or a plague on the world. I don't believe that. I believe that humans are misguided and they're not taking care of the world like they should, but I don't believe that humans are the problem. The mindset that the humans are, you know, Steve said it best up there at the top of this doggone deal. He said, nature needs no improvement, only the arrogance of man requires change, which is true. We're, you know, sometimes selfish, we're sometimes greedy, can be violent, and all these other things. So if the artificial intelligence is watching us interact with each other, arguing and fighting and protesting and warring, and finally decides, well, my main goal, my main mission, according to my programmer, said that I am supposed to fix this world, and the best way that I see to fix this world is to get rid of humans.
Right, see, Stephen is saying,
yeah,
Siri is a spin-out from the SRI, International Artificial Intelligence Center, and is an offshoot of the DARPA-funded CALO project. This is exactly what I'm saying. But, you know, here we go. Looks good on paper, right? Because if you're going to be in a technologically advanced society, you know, technology is not a bad thing. I would like to be in a technologically advanced society, but I don't like this technology that we're currently building. But in an advanced society, it makes sense to have an information center to where you can just speak and say, I need this, where is this, can I find this, can you do this, make this appointment. All of that makes sense. I mean, it doesn't sound bad, guys. seriously, think about it. If you were in a system that was not meant to harm, if you were in a system that was meant to further advance our species,
yeah,
that would be a good thing.
Here,
but we're not there.
No. Well, I'm going to respond to your people aren't the problem thing. Because, okay, we're all participating in this system. We are manifesting and creating and participating. So, well, I'm not going to say we are the problem, but there are problems and we are participating.
Yep.
Unconsciously or being manipulated to participate where we can't even think clearly or have a conscious or the morals are dropping in, you know, incrementally. I'm just saying on some level humanity is involved and participating.
Well, I say we hold responsibility. We are responsible for our society and how we do nature.
But I don't think we're being responsible.
No, we're not. But as far as us being the ultimate virus on the world, all we got to do is get to the doggone mindset to where we know if we take care of each other, we'll have a decent world. If we work in harmony with nature, we'll have a decent world. But right now, we're so inundated by people telling us what we have to dress or how we have to look, otherwise we're fat. You know, the beautiful people look like this and they wear these particular brands or.
Well, there you go. Free will. We are participating. We're choosing to listen to this indoctrination of how to live and how to behave and how to assault and how to usurp and basically how to, you know, overconsume and... So I'm not using the word we're the problem, but we are on some level participating in this situation that is not really
right.
Harmonious.
You're right, and that participation is us feeding the same beast that we're complaining about. You know, if you're not comfortable, if you're not happy with life, then the system ain't working. That's it. You know, plain and simple.
Yeah. So this is interesting. So Stephen says CALO, C-A-L-O, is an acronym for Cognitive Assistant that Learns and Organizes. The name was inspired by the Latin word colonus, which means soldier's servant.
You know what I hope?
Hmm.
I hope that the artificial intelligence is actually listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I do, because...
Oh, I'm sure somebody out there is listening.
Well, I hope that the artificial intelligence recognizes the fact that what we're trying to tell people is that you have the solutions available to you, but you have to be the ones to use them. And if you allow representation of said governments or whichever type of government you've got, or even secret agencies or societies to manipulate you into taking away your true potential and your true power, which is, you know, if we wanted to work together and work in perfect harmony with nature, we could quite literally, with our own free will, bring about a heaven on earth. We have that potential. But the odds of that happening under the current situation to where you can't even get people to agree on where to have lunch together without fighting, or you've got differences between races or religions and beliefs like that, and there are people out there at the top who believe that if they can get everybody under the same religion, everybody under the same government, then everybody out there will be equal. But the folks at the top don't always have your best interest at heart. The folks at the top, they don't care whether or not you get killed in a war zone. Because if that...
Hey, I want to do an experiment real quick. I want Barb to type into the Skype chat where we're at. I want her to type in there something like, I don't like artificial intelligence, or I don't like Cortana, and I want to see what Cortana has to say about it. Just saying.
Cool.
Cortana, C-O-R. How do you spell that? C-O-R.
T-A-N-A.
So I'm cool. Doing that. I don't like Cortana.
While you guys are working on that response, what I mentioned earlier about, as of 2011, the Environmental Protection Agency set the value of human life at $9.1 million. That's what you are to the system out there. You are a dollar sign, flat out.
First, when she said, I don't like Cortana, Cortana wasn't anywhere to be seen. She just disappeared off the screen. And then she says, let's get rid of Cortana, and Cortana laughed. And then it says, go away, Cortana, and Cortana did the thing where you stick your the tongue out, the emoji that's sticking his tongue out.
Yep.
Wow. That's creepy, creepy stuff, man. Cortana is creepy. Is it going to... Does it listen to us just by speaking, or is it only with the typing?
It's only when you type. But I'm sure it's listening to us. I just had to see that.
Well,
that is bizarre. So I'm going to say... so here's the thing. Here's my... I'm just going to throw this out. Imagine... Oh, we were talking about the how to get out of the Matrix system, and somebody actually wrote in one of those how to get out of the prison planet Matrix system and went through all this stuff of what the Matrix is and what the prison planet really is. And the reply was the way, it's a simple way, is love. Okay? So I'm just going to say, if you don't believe that you can change things, if you don't believe you can create a heaven on earth, if you don't believe that peace does exist and we can create and manifest and bring peace and a better world and a better life for everyone, and it's through love, well, it won't happen. I'm going to say it's through love. What do you guys think?
Well, that's it. You know, there's been a lot of people in history that said pretty close to that. If you like Henry Ford, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Flat out, that's how it works. If you don't believe that there's a possibility for us to fix this, then you ain't going to be part of the solution. You're just going to be going along to get along, going with the flow, taking your hits as you get them, and hoping to survive. A lot of people in this world, they get depressed all the way to the extent where they become suicidal because everything seems to be so overwhelming in what they want from their life that they can never achieve in their life because of financial or you know, physical conditions or whatever, and there's not very many people trying to uplift those souls to say, look, hey, you're more powerful than you think you are. You know, words have power. Words have started wars. Words have done a lot of damage, and words have done a lot of good. There's inspiring speeches from many people that are still used to this day that's happened, you know, 100 years, 200 years, or whatever. But because somebody had the wisdom to speak those words, we're still having a debate on where to go with our society. Otherwise, you know, the global elitist would have just walked right in and took whatever they wanted. But now we have this opportunity, checks and balances, and they unlock Pandora's box by putting this internet in front of us. We got to be wary, though. Because just like a Trojan horse, it sat out there, it looked good. Let's bring that in there. They made that for us. That's pretty nice. But inside it was an army. And so with that artificial intelligence out there listening in to everything you got to say, whose side is that artificial intelligence on? Are they reporting on you to your government? Or are they just using everything that you say as a marketing tool for somebody else to make money? Either way, if you enjoy privacy, but you're willing to just click the I accept without reading the deal and making a conscious, informed, educated decision on whether or not the price of that software is worth what you just allowed them to have. This is why Microsoft is rich like they are. This is why Google is as powerful as it is, because each and every one of you on the internet right now basically walked through haphazardly signing on to all kinds of stuff, and you're getting spied on, and now that it feels uncomfortable, it's too late because you already gave them consent. So when it comes to your government, it's supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people, where you, the citizen, keep your government in check by holding them accountable. And when you allow somebody to slick talk you into, hey, elect me and I'll save you, you know, I'll end poverty, first, before you even pull that little button or write it on there that you vote for somebody, You need to be out there using these tools to do research to find out what it is that people have witnessed that these folks had done prior to even coming in there and saying they want to run for president. It's not just Trump. It's not just Clinton. It's not just the international bankers or the social elite the globalist of the world that you got to be concerned about. It's your brothers and sisters out there using that machine against each other because they have disputes or they have differences or they just flat out don't like something. They don't like the way something looks or the way somebody dresses, and so I'm going to get my government to make a law against that. Your grass has to be this tall, otherwise you're going to get this large of a fine. You understand what I'm trying to say, then you'll understand where the door is to go to freedom. And that's whenever you stop using your government, which is supposedly you are the government. You know, and as long as you're going to use your government to enforce your will on another person or another group of individuals because you want them to basically conform to your view of what you think the world should be, as long as you use that government as a tool, you have to expect that on the other side of that fence of your neighbor's yard, your neighbor has that same amount of power that neighbor can use your government against you. What do you guys think?
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking about how, and from what Stephen is saying about artificial intelligence, and of course the biggest playground for artificial intelligence is the internet. It is the main source of learning for these systems. So what are they learning from the people?
Well, right now
let's look
child.
At this. Let's look at this. What are they learning? They're learning that we are a angry species, that we cannot come together, that we are constantly fighting and bickering, that we threaten each other, that we promote fear, that we promote anger and angst. So this is what the AI is learning from us, and that we love to consume. Oh my gosh, do we love to consume? We just love, 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 love to consume. And so what are we teaching the AIs? What are they taking away?
That we're easily led and influenced too.
So these sci-fi movies that we've seen before, you know, how the artificial intelligence computer is put online and then it decides that people are a problem, that they're the reason why everything's wrong. Get rid of the people. Well, say we switch the narrative. Say that we switch the narrative and we started talking. We got everybody on here, the majority of the people, talking about love, talking about unity, talking about the ability to live with self-responsibility and respecting each other, of developing technologies for healing, all of these different things that we talk about in a negative way, turn it all positive. What would be the message that the AI would come?
There you go. That's what I was talking about earlier. I said, when that thing is listening in on you, I would hope they were listening in to the Knights of the Round Table, because we always put a solution to the problem. And they, if that artificial intelligence is a child learning, and they start to learn that we, in this little group right here, we have cooperation. We have good ideas on how to resolve things. We talk about healing the sick. We talk about love and peace and harmony and making this world good and working in harmony with nature and such. So at least our portion of what's being taught to that AI is that there are good people in this world. Am I wrong?
No, it's just that is our message in the majority? Or is our message? I don't want to think that we are the only people. I know that there are many, 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 many people out there who feel just like we do. They are talking about solutions. They are providing information for people to step out of this system to better their lives through health, education, whatever. There's enough of us out there. The consensus is there.
Well, your was the solution. What you said earlier about how if we all started talking about nothing but positivity, and what Barbara mentioned earlier about how we're pretty much, I can't remember the doggone word she used, about we're basically making stuff happen with our actions and our minds and what we think and the way that we talk. What was that word you used earlier, Barbara?
I don't know.
Which word, Barb? Which word?
I don't know the word, but yeah, we do make things happen. You know, we make things happen all the time.
Manifest.
Manifesting. We are manifesting continually, either positively or negatively. We're creating and manifesting our experience. For sure.
So what Patty said and what you just said right there is the solution.
Oh, yeah. Hello. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Because if you have, there have been studies actually put out about how people coming together, and it doesn't have to take a huge population. See, this is the piece. I told you about that study I heard about for 4 years, a group of people. Maybe about 50 people together in different parts of the world all sat down simultaneously at the same time on the same day and all focused on peace and love and harmony and balance in a meditation or affirmation, whatever you want to call it. And they did, they kept track of what was going on in those major cities as far as emergencies and murders and violence and so on. And they noticed a drop in emergencies, a drop in violence, a drop in police calls and various other things. It was so profound that they had, you know, this study they did for 4 years. So I'm just saying the power that we do have, and yes, if we all... So what we're doing, I suppose, here we go, when we talk about the negatives, when we talk about the issues that are factual about what's going on, and... I suppose we could question, and I'm questioning this right now, and I have questioned it before, but I guess I got sidetracked, is when we talk about something and feed it, so we're feeding the beast.
Yep.
When we discuss the beast, how awful it is, or whatever's going on, we are feeding the beast, right, would you say?
Yep.
So if we're talking about creator and love, that's why we always have solutions afterwards. When we talk about the positives, we talk about the solutions and the power that we do have. Because if I said I think love is the answer, love can change the world. Now that means if you love the world, if you love this world, if you love the people, if you love the children, if you love the water, you know, this gives you a sense of gratitude. I'm grateful for the clean water. I'm grateful for the earth. I'm grateful for my child, my grandchildren. Loving them is a frequency and an energy that can change what is going on. It's impacting. It's very powerful. Studies have been done on this, and we're very much becoming more aware of this. So that's why I say, yeah, this frequency, the energy of our words, hold a power, either positively or negatively. So we feel... words, people's words sometimes hit us, sometimes slam us, like in our gut, or hit us. We feel like we've just been slammed, you know, with somebody negative saying something negative, right?
Yeah.
And it's the opposite when somebody speaks kindly or lovingly or caring. We feel that too. So, but it's not just us humans. It's the whole of creation that we are affecting. So, yeah.
When I hear people talk about white privilege because of the color of my skin, which I know my heritage, I'm a mixed breed, you know, I got French Canadian / Cherokee and who knows what else in my blood. So, you know, when I hear them talk about white privilege, which it feels like it's aimed at me, there's a negative vibe that goes over the top of me that actually affects me physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so those words have power. I feel oppressed every time I hear somebody say that. You know, white privilege. Well, I don't think I'm any better than anybody else. They don't think I'm worse than anybody else. I think that there are people that make terrible choices that I particularly wouldn't agree with, but even in that instance, because they made a terrible choice doesn't make them any less or any better than me before the eyes of my Creator, so it's not for me to judge that person, and I feel negative when I do try to judge that person. But the words that are coming out of people's mouth, their actions, their the power of the pen, the power of the spoken word, the power of your actions, all of those are powers, and the power of love that you can't run out of, no matter how
well we're we're feeding the beast,
yeah,
or not. Either you are creating and manifesting love, harmony, and balance, or you're feeding the beast and creating the opposite. That's the power that we have, I feel. Yeah. I really do believe that.
And people got to realize that. They got to realize that every action has an equal and opposite reaction according to science, so everything that you do is going to cause something to happen. If you want something good to happen, then try to do something good for somebody, something in the world. And that's how it works. It don't matter what stance you have on your spiritual beliefs or whatever, we're all going to find out, because we're all in the same boat. When we finally get to the end of this great journey that we're on, we're going to find out the truth. Everything will be known by the time we get down to the end of the road. We're all going to find out, hey, you remember all that arguing we did back there? We're standing before the same Creator, or we're standing in the same darkness, or whatever, you know?
And you know what they say? Surprise, surprise.
Yep. You might find out you acted a fool all your life trying to tell somebody they had to believe exactly the way you believed, or you're just going to have somebody kill them or something, you know? You might get the surprise. You may have to go through it all over again. They might say, well, you didn't learn nothing in this life. We're sending you back. You got to do it all over again. Boy, wouldn't that be a joy? Especially if it was like the world we're living now.
Let's be positive.
Yeah.
Let's say this is an amazing, extraordinary time we're living in, and I do believe that.
I
do see extraordinary, amazing times we are living in on so many levels, you know. No matter what I come across, and Patty and I have talked about this so many times, no matter what we go into, the rabbit holes and down the dark tubes and whatever, and come up with this stuff that we go, oh my, you know, whoa. No matter what, when we do this, we have this other part of ourselves, this other side of ourself, you know, and we go, this is like extraordinary, this is awesome, you know, we are living in an awesome, amazing time, and I'm saying in a positive way.
Yeah, but you guys are going on an adventure, bringing wisdom with you, learning on the way, and sharing that knowledge with people. That's the difference.
When you uncover what I'm going to say is the truth of things, because that's what I would like to believe that we are doing. It sure feels that way.
Yeah.
That we are when you go on an adventure and you go through dark places and struggle and struggling places and times and hard situations and circumstances to find a morsel of truth, it is so rewarding. Even if the morsel of truth is concerning. Because you will have one step closer to the full truth and the full circumstances of what is happening.
Yep.
And you can better assess then, I feel, how to live your life or steps to take to, you know, the direction or bring on or create or manifest the situation in your life that will create a better life for all. That's what I feel.
Well, the way I see it, you ladies are on a journey together, an adventure, and you're gathering up pieces of the puzzle that you're putting on the table for everyone to finally be able to have the opportunity to see the big picture, and that's what today's show was all about, the big picture. That's how it's done. You two ladies are a prime example of how it's done. Folks, we're down to the wire. We're actually over our time a bit. And it's the time where we go around the table to throw in some last words of wisdom. But I hope that something we said here rings a bell. And I hope that you step back and you look at the big picture, what's going on. There are things that need to be addressed. That's for sure. But we got to get down to the root cause of it. And the root cause of it is the fact that you can't sit there and say that you're not responsible for any of the problems that your government's doing as long as you're complying and being complicit with every action that they take. You're the one that has to pick up the gun as a soldier and go to war in order for their war to be even taking place. You're the one that has to be the cook or the doctor or the nurse or the part of the system that actually makes the system work and be financially profitable for those who own the system. You're the ones that have to be that base of the pyramid. The day that you, the people, decide that you're no longer going to be underneath that oppressive government, if everybody on the north ran to the north, if everybody on the south ran to the south, if everybody on the east and the west ran in their respective directions away from that system would come tumbling down. It's every average Joe out there who has a voice that uses that voice when it's time to use that voice. If you can sing like an angel, right now is the time in history to stand up and do just that. If you can cook the best meal on the planet, right now is the time for you to go find somebody who's hungry and do just that. The power that you have and the access to the mass amount of information that is available to you on this thing we call the internet, this internet doesn't have to be oppressive. This internet could be a tool. This internet could be technology that could actually help us to help each other to make this world better, to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, to find ways that we can work in harmony with nature, to be able to utilize the materials that nature has provided to provide for everyone. And then we don't have to do it under a one world government banner or one world religion. We can do it under a one world idea that we the people are all created equal. There's been many brilliant speech givers in history, from pastors to people, just average Joes, that had something profound to say to the world. But unless you take and allow that message to come through your ears... You know, I got a message from a man called Jesus, whether he was myth or mythology or whatever, but his message told me that if I had the faith of a mustard seed, that I could move the mountains. I want you to go look up a mustard seed. See how tiny that is. That's just a tiny bit of faith. Now imagine if I had the faith of a mountain and I was talking to my brothers and sisters and I could show by example of the knowledge that I've acquired and everything and my heart laid out there on the table to share with them, that example would go into their life and help them to spread that message out there that love is your ultimate power. And you can't run out of it. You can run around and love people all day long, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and for some reason that heart will stay full. It never goes dry. When you see other people out there in the world suffering and you feel, sad in your heart and in your mind because, you know, you want them to feel that bit that you feel and be able to share in those blessings that you've been given, we have that. We all have that. Each and every one of you have that. Each and every one of you, there ain't no monetary value on your life. Your life is priceless. Our Creator didn't create any trash, only treasure. And part of that treasure, part of those shiny little things that we all covet are you. If you want to find that miracle that you've been seeking throughout your entire life and your purpose for even being here, then you need to go look in the mirror. When you realize who and what you really are and the potential that you have to make a difference in somebody else's life who is going through hardships, those trials and tribulations that you've actually had to face in your lifetime and that your family had gone through, those were training. Those were the things that taught you and formed you into the person that you are today. And if you want to be a jerk, you can be a jerk. If you want to be a wonderful soul, you can be a wonderful soul. If you want to live in a world that is a beautiful world, that is a healthy world, that is a happy world, the first step that you got to take is to realize that you have the potential to change the world by yourself, along with your brothers and sisters. Every piece of the puzzle will make eventually the big picture. And so what Barbara talks about, the frequencies and the manifestation of what you create in your life, those are the choices that you make. You choose the government that oppresses you. You choose the friends and the people that are around you. You teach people how to treat you, quite literally. And if you allow them to abuse you on a regular basis, every time they come around you, they will do just that because you said it was okay. And when you understand that, and when you see out there into the world all that we've been given for however you feel it got here, if we utilize everything that we've been given, all these gifts, this wonderful, beautiful earth that we stand on, it's amazing. You'll find places that are untouched by man. You could just look out there and you can see nature and you can feel it. Nature will talk to you. Your Creator will talk to you. And if you treat each other the way that you see nature treating nature, you might just be surprised how fast this world would take a turn for the better as opposed to the worst. There is no such thing as collateral damage. Every time one person in this world gets hurt, we all suffer. And so with that said, which one of you ladies want to go first to give your last words of wisdom for this particular Knights of the Round Table?
Well, I just have a... Oh, go ahead, Patty.
I got a quick one, too. All I want to say is Blue is in my face right now, and he's about to crash my computer. But anyway, Blue is my cat.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he just jumped right up in front of me and said, "Mom, I'm going to hit the keyboard here. Is that okay?" No, it's not. Anyway, I just want to say, you know, there are so many things in this world that you can get sidetracked on. So many things. And if you're looking for a solution and you're hunting high and low, you're missing it. You're never going to find it because you are the solution. And love is the key. Live, love, laugh, and definitely always stand strong, everybody. Thanks.
And how?
Well, there's a very strange blue bug outside here on the window. Blue. Interesting. Okay. What can I say? I feel really always grateful for being here. Talking to everyone and also communing with people in the chat. And I want to thank everyone who's listening and who's participating here, wherever you are. Thank you for that and for the opportunity to share and to think deeper, I guess I'd say. Because when we come on these shows, I think we have to go a little bit deeper and really dig for, you know, for stuff, which is good. It's a good, it's a good opportunity. But I just give thanks, period, for this life, this earth, the Mother Earth. And as I always say, I think that the answers lie out there in the nature, as I think we're all understanding or understanding that. We all speak about that. I do feel people's are having difficulties. I do feel the despair that people are experiencing. And I just want to say, you know, that... I know there are solutions, and we do talk about solutions, and some of them may be, feel daunting to some, but if you go outside on the mother, that's a big solution right there that will give you something in return to be more out there on the mother and to just reach out to that energy or that frequency of the Mother Earth and nature. That's part of who we are. We're part of nature. We're not separate from that. It really is. We are children of nature. It's our innate nature, our fundamental nature is sacredness, is beauty, is creativity, is joy, is wonder, is awe of everything. That's our fundamental nature. So I'm just saying that this is about, I guess, our original essence, talking about what is our original essence. It's like that as a sacred being, you know, come in here to this earth with the wisdom within us, innate within us. And we've all been on a long journey, you know. It's been an amazing journey with lots of bruised knees and falling off of cliffs and stuff, but I have great faith. I guess that's what I'm moving here towards. Great faith in something magnificent and miraculous and extraordinary unfolding in this lifetime on so many levels. So I have great faith and hope for us all. And I think I always, you know, I always say get your spiritual foundation built strong. It doesn't mean a religion. It just means your connectedness to spirit or your connectedness to the earth or the mother connected to the water. This is part of who we are. So I just want to say thank you for having me here today, and I hope that something that we shared here will have touched you in some way, a good way. Pilamaya Doksha.
Well, thank you. What was the name of that cat there again, Patty?
Lou?
His name is Blue.
All right, well, Barbara had a blue bug show up on the window trying to get in to listen to the show. You had a blue cat trying to get on the keyboard to send us a thank you message and love. Hey, I like what y'all saying. So, hey, we're getting the message out. Even nature's starting to join in on the party there. So that's what it's all about, folks. Doggone it. Take it. If you hear anything in this show, even if it's only a little clip, cut it out and send it out. Spread the message out there. This is what we do at Shaziz Radio and People for People and TCT and Wolf Spirit Radio and all the different networks out there affiliated. This is what we're trying to do, is to trying to spread this message of peace, hope, and love around the world, and show you that for every problem in the world that exists, there is a solution. The best way that you can help us and support us isn't financially. It's by being a part of it. It's by coming in and saying something in the chat, like Stephen Gibbons and May and all the other people that show up out here. Come out here, share links with each other, share these podcasts on your social media networks. And when that artificial intelligence hears us all talking about love and peace and everything, maybe that's the direction our future could go. What do you think? You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table, folks. Peace and love.
Thank you. It stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one end.
Ooh,
one end.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one end.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
feel... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more. Many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot. No, we're tough and able, quite indefatigable.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.